complying with the EU's antitrust laws by the end of the month. Microsoft will challenge the fines in court. And the nation's labor movement is on the precipice of a major sea change that could affect thousands of workers in the healthcare system and elsewhere, according to a report by the Economic Policy Institute of Washington, D.C. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Wayne Gilman.
News sponsored in part by Mahatma and Carolina Rice, making it easy to add whole grain to your diet. For delicious brown rice recipes, visit them on the web. Enjoy Mahatma or Carolina Rice. It's good for you.
Support our troops. We hear it practically every day. It's something we all agree on. Whenever and wherever the men and women of our armed forces are called, we send our support with them. It's something we all do. And supporting the USO is how it's done. The USO receives no government funding and depends entirely on the generosity of the American people. To find out more, call us at 888-USO-5566 or visit our website at uso.org.
Sears has the new air conditioning system you've been looking for. Keep cool this summer with the new Carrier or Kenmore system from a name you can trust. With unbeatable pricing, year-round maintenance and repair, plus our satisfaction guarantee, it's time you called Sears at 1-800-269-2300 for a free in-home consultation. Ask about our special financing terms. A new, more efficient cooling system can keep your family comfortable all summer long and may help you save money on high energy costs. You and your family can count on Sears for the quality materials and installation you've come to expect for over 100 years. Call now at 1-800-269-2300. Offer ends August 26, 06. Subject to applicant credit worthiness. Installation provided by Sears authorized licensed contractors. Licensee information available upon request. Energy efficiency may vary depending upon your home and climate. Keep cool with the new air conditioning system from Sears. Call now at 1-800-269-2300. That's 1-800-269-2300.
Is the IRS ruining your life? Are you afraid of losing everything? You can end the despair you feel right now. Get ready to write down an important phone number you're going to need to help solve your IRS nightmare. The number is 800-661-0491.
Hello, I'm John Harris, president of J.K. Harris & Company, the nation's largest tax representation firm. IRS problems have a way of ruining every aspect of your life if you let them. They don't go away on their own. The IRS can attach your wages, your pension, your savings, even your Social Security checks. If you owe back taxes, don't despair. Since 1997, our former IRS agents and tax professionals have successfully negotiated settlements for our clients, saving them millions of dollars.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, call J.K. Harris at 800-661-0491 now. You may qualify to dramatically reduce your tax debt. Call 800-661-0491. That's 800-661-0491.
We Icelanders live longer than you Americans and have the world's lowest rate of heart disease, stroke, and high blood pressure. What's our secret? It's omega-3 fish oil from the clean, cold waters of Iceland. And now our powerful omega-3s are available in America. Omega-3s that have twice the power of most omega-3s, and you can get a bottle of it from Iceland Health for free.
As a result of taking Iceland Health, my blood pressure has dropped tremendously.
I feel more flexible, and I feel like my energy is up.
Besides a healthier heart, our omega-3s can improve memory and energy and have powerful benefits for skin and joints. Find out how to get a free bottle and feel the difference for yourself. Call 1-800-406-3375.
Iceland Health Omega-3 made me feel 100% better.
The secret to a healthier heart is out. Get your free bottle of omega-3 by calling 1-800-406-3375. Call 1-800-406-3375.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And happy Wednesday. Greetings, my friends. Our quote for the day, every gun that is made, this is from Dwight Eisenhower, Republican President of the United States, every gun that is made, every warship launched, every rocket fired, in a final sense, is a theft from those who hunger and are not fed, those who are cold and are not clothed. Coming up in today's program, in our Everything You Know Is Wrong segment, will a supervolcano here in the U.S. erupt again? Should be an interesting day. Steve Lawrence is with us right now. He's the author of a new book, The Making of a Police State. He's a U.S. veteran, has served for 22 years. And, Steve, my take of your book is that it's about how to save America from the liberal agenda. Is that, am I getting that right?
Well, it's more from the socialist agenda. Because if you want to get down to it, liberals and conservatives are more middle of the road. The liberal term has been hijacked by the socialist extremists.
Okay, let's define some terms then. Social Security, is that liberal or social or socialist?
Well, Social Security is neither. It was designed as a helping hand for elderly people to augment their retirement income.
Okay, but it is a social.
It's a social program.
Right. So what? Well, you know, socialism is an economic system by and large. So what? What are the economic programs that are in place that you would say are socialist rather than liberal?
Well, it's not so much as the actual programs, it's the methods in which the government, particularly the lower-level government, is exerting control over the people.
For example?
For example, in zoning, there was a beat out here in my county. They were basically deceived into believing that the master zoning plan that they voted for was going to protect their property values and such as that. Well, in actuality, it gives control of your property to the county planners. That it removes you from the equation of what you can do with your property. If you have acreage, if you want to clear underbrush, you have to apply for permission from the county planners, and it can take up to 6 months, and according to them, it would incur markedly increased fees, which means another tax.
Right.
Because they determine your property, the use of your property.
Well, let me give you the flip side of that. I mean, first of all, I'm assuming that in your county, the county planners are either elected or answerable to elected officials, right?
Well, see, this is the key. This is happening all over the United States, not just here. This is happening in Colorado, Oregon, Washington, Ohio. The county commissioners are elected by the people.
Right.
So
you've got somebody who's answerable to you.
We have county commissioners answering, but the planning commission are not elected. They are county bureaucrats. They are selected by the county commissioners, but are answerable to no one.
Right, but you don't believe for a minute, Steve Lawrence, that if the county commissioners went off half-cocked and did something really stupid, that the people wouldn't figure out some way to throw them out of their butts.
Well, the county commissioners, yes, but the county planners, no.
So, because here's what's happened in Oregon, in the state where I live. We had some conservatives come in here and with a whole lot of money from out of state and put in what's called Measure 37. And by the way, right now there's a similar one in Washington State. It's going to be on the ballot this fall. It's Initiative 933. And what Measure 37 says, which seems to make sense, is if a government agency, take for your example the county commission, if a government agency passes a zoning law, and that zoning law causes the value of your property to decrease, then the government has to pay you for the loss of value of that property. Now, you know, that kind of seems to make sense, right?
Well, yes, that makes sense.
Here's the only problem. There was no funding mechanism built into Measure 37. So the government has two choices. They could either choose to not enforce the law, or they could pay you for the loss of your property, for the loss of the value of your property. So if I've got, say I have a house in a nice residential neighborhood, and it's zoned residential, and everybody in the neighborhood is living in a residence, and I decide that, you know, my property, say the lot I'm on is worth $20,000, just to pull a number out of the air. But I know that if I put a toxic waste dump on that site, I could, you know, that property's worth $500,000. Or if I put a strip club there, I can make some serious money. Or if I put a 30-story hotel there, that property's now worth, you know, $700,000 or $1 million. So I sue the state under Measure 37, and I say, hey, I'm being denied the ability to use my property in a way that maximizes my revenue.
You're taking away my power. Your socialist agenda is taking away my power. And the state says, okay, cool. Well, we don't have the $300,000 or $500,000 to pay you, so I guess you're just going to have to be able to build the toxic waste dump or the strip club. And all over the state right now, we've got, like, you know, in the rural areas, we've got people, you know, who have wineries and wine country who are discovering that they're having toxic waste dumps built near them. We're having in residential communities, places, you know, types of businesses that are being put in that residential communities don't want. We got gravel pits going in where they were, you know, in other words, zoning is being thrown out the window. That sounds to me like exactly what you would want, because what it's doing is it's disempowering those nasty socialist county commissioners. Am I getting this right?
No, you're not. You're way off base. The fact of the matter is Measure 37 is a rewrite of the original provisions, because the courts threw it out because it protected people's individual rights. And when it comes to neighborhoods, when you buy into a neighborhood, you're buying into that mindset. Now, whatever's established when you buy into that, that is law. I have no problem.
No, you're buying into a community, and the communities change over time. But basically, if you've got a community and they're voting for the county commissioner, and the county commissioner is appointing the county commission, and they're making decisions about who can clear brush and who can't, that's a democratic process. If one guy says, hey, I want to clear my brush, and the rest of the community says, we don't want you to, tough luck. This is a democracy. I don't get it why you're complaining about that.
Okay, it's
like, or why you're calling that socialism. It sounds to me like American democracy.
No, it's not. You're very good at twisting it, and that's why it's enjoyable. Okay. What you have, like in my county, you have special districts. These special districts are housing developments. They have their own set of zoning rules and regulations county commissions sign off on, and they, you know, basically leave them alone. They have allowed these special districts, who the county zoning does not affect in any way or manner, to vote on zoning on unincorporated areas that are could be miles from their special district. And these people, like me, I live 8 miles from any special district, any real community. We're rural. We're out in the farm life. Well, now, when this passes, these people are dictating to me what I can do with my property.
So get political and get active. I mean, you know, this is America. Steve Lawrence, in your book, The Making of the Police State, I mean, you're suggesting that things like a concern about global warming is part of a liberal agenda to take over America.
That's the socialist agenda to control Americans. Yes, it is. It's like, okay, Al Gore's film, The Inconvenient Truth.
Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it, but I read everything about it.
You haven't seen it, but you're going to talk about it.
Yeah, I'll talk about it. Okay. Famed.
I'm sorry, Steve. You have no credibility in my mind. If you're going to talk about a movie you haven't seen.
Okay, does Dr. William Gray, the famed climatologist, internationally renowned hurricane expert, have any say?
You're talking about the guy who gets his money from ExxonMobil?
This guy, oh, really, listen to this. This is a straight from the Washington Post. He said the scientific consensus on global warming, one of the greatest hoaxes ever perpetrated on the American people. For speaking the truth, he has seen most of his government research funding dry up.
Yeah.
Now,
under the Bush administration.
That works for ExxonMobil.
Under the Bush administration. Come on, Steve. You're trying to tell me.
From your liberal Washington Post. What about Oxford professor David Bellamy, who sniffs Gore's theory as poppycock? He's a world-renowned climatologist.
Steve Lawrence, author of The Making of the Police State, there is no more debate. These guys that you're quoting are crackpots. They're crackpots. Science Magazine, one of the most prestigious science publications in the world. I mean, solid, no political agenda at all, did an analysis of nearly 1,000 peer-reviewed scientific papers. Not one questioned the reality of global warming or the fact that humans are in part causing it. Not one.
That's absolutely false.
No, it's not. It's here. You can read it in Science Magazine.
Okay. Have you read Daniel Rothman, Department of Earth, Atmospheric, and Planetary Sciences from Massachusetts Institute of Technology, who states that CO2...
Steve, I'm sorry. You're going to get a half a dozen crackpot anecdotes on here, and
I'm showing you facts that you can't handle.
Steve, I'll tell you what. You watch the movie, and I'll put you back on the air again, and we can talk about it.
Well, see, that's the problem. When you watch the movie, you're getting a one-sided...
Sure, and you've already had the other side. And so after you've seen the movie, you can talk...
I've looked at thousands of pages doing research on this, thousands of pages, both pro and con, And what I found is the pro-global warming theories are based on non-science, and many of the scientists that they claim actually are not.
Okay, I got it. Steve, can you stick around for a few minutes?
Oh, sure.
I'd like to, you know, we got to take about a four-minute break here, and I really want to find out from you what you mean by the word socialist. I'm just fascinated by this because, you know, I get flack from people on both sides of the political spectrum about that word. 16 minutes past the hour.
Charlie Pickett here for Amdro. Did you know that some ants actually prefer living in your home? That's why you need to know about Amdro Ant Block. It stops ants cold on the outside. Just sprinkle Amdro Ant Block around the foundation of your home. You see, Ant Block's a bait. Ants take it back to the colony where they share it and die, right down to the queen. Amdro Ant Block. Stop them on the outside before they come inside.
You've been hearing about Hitemax, but you still haven't ordered? Hitemax is a patented blend of vitamins, herbs, and amino acids available now without a prescription. Designed for 12 to 25-year-olds, Hitemax is a supplement that provides extra nutrients during those critical growth years when the body reaches its full height potential. Order Hitemax direct today at 1-877-GROW-TALL. There's a 30-day risk-free offer going on now. That's 1-877-GROW-TALL or buy it on the web at Hitemax.com.
Hitemax is a subsidiary of Sunny Health Nutrition Technology.
America's working poor recently suffered another body blow in the Congress. But you probably missed the news since it barely made a blip on the media establishment's radar. The blow came in the Senate, which voted down a modest increase in our nation's minimum wage. This is front page news to millions of families that are trying to survive on jobs that pay at or near a minimum wage that's been stuck at $5.15 an hour for nearly a decade. But the media barons, who devote lavish coverage to the prosperity being enjoyed by the economic elites, don't see this as a story. The New York Times, for example, relegated it to a single paragraph on page 22 at the tail end of a column covering eight other topics. Had they deigned to look into the story, here are a few important facts they would have found. There are 7.3 million Americans presently working for minimum wage. Another 8.2 million of us are paid only a dollar or less above the minimum. 72% of minimum wage workers are adults. The average worker brings home more than half of the family's weekly income. A third bring home 100% of their family's earnings. 60% of these workers are women. 760,000 are single moms. $5.15 an hour is a gross pay of $10,500 a year for full-time work, poverty pay. The last increase in the minimum wage has been entirely eroded by inflation. The purchasing power of $5.15 today is the equivalent of $4.23 in 1997, the year the wage was raised from 4.25 an hour. This is Jim Hightower saying, this is not merely an economic story, but a deeply moral issue, especially at a time when workers have greatly increased productivity and helped generate historic levels of growth and profits. If the media chieftains wonder why they're losing readers and viewers, they might note that they callously ignore news of real importance to ordinary folks.
Ever notice how people differ on how America's doing? On Wall Street, they say things are going great. Big oil's profits are through the roof. CEOs are raking in millions. And big corporations love paying foreigners those dirt cheap wages. Different story for the rest of us. Gas prices are murder, millions of jobs are being exported, and now they're saying our kids will have a lower standard of living. Something's got to change. Something already has, and it's this. The people who've always fought to give the rest of us a stronger voice are losing their clout, America's unions. It hasn't happened by accident. The laws that protect a worker's right to choose a union are weaker than ever, and Wall Street wants to keep it that way. So America's got a choice. We can let Wall Street keep telling us how things work, or we can restore a worker's freedom to choose a union without fear of being fired, the way democracy's supposed to work. Paid for by the United Steelworkers on the World Wide Web at usw.org.
fearlessly exploring the truth of the day, here's Tom Hartman.
Now that gay marriage is the new boy in town, they'll amend the Constitution just to keep you down. They say the gay lifestyle is perverted and odd. Well, they should know best. They're always talking to God. Sex and religion, it's sex and religion. That old-time religion should pack up and leave. Sex and religion, give me sex and religion. The greatest combination since Adam and Eve.
And welcome back. 21 minutes past the hour for your minimum daily adult requirement of sanity, the Tom Hartman radio program. We have a new listener line, by the way, if you want to sound off. 503-323-6620 is the telephone number. Just to leave a message, remember, though, your comments may be used on the air, so think carefully about what you're going to say. Limit your comments to no more than 30 seconds. Remember, we may use your voice and opinion on the air. 503-323-6620. Our telephone number, if you'd like to call into the program, 866, toll-free all across the United States, 866-440-8466. We're talking to Steve Lawrence. He's the author of a new book, The Making of a Police State, about how the liberals or socialists are trying to make a police state in the United States. Steve, I'm baffled. We've got big government conservatives who are listening into our phone conversations. They're monitoring our email. They're checking our bank accounts. They're telling us that they want to control how we behave in bed and with whom, even among consenting adults. They're telling us they want to tell us when we can die. They're taking my tax dollars and giving them to Pat Robertson against my will. They're putting each of my kids $28,000 in debt. Every single one of my kids when they were born. They're telling us what intoxicants we can take, these big government conservatives. They will arrest us if we protest outside a, you know, where the president or vice president are, if we don't go into a so-called free speech zone cage. And they're spying on groups like the League of Women Voters. I share your concern about a police state, but I really think you got the wrong group identified.
Well, the common ground we have here is big government. You agree that the government is way too big, and so do I.
Well, I'm not even sure that big is the word that I'm concerned about. I'm concerned about repressive.
Well,
I mean, a very small government can be very, very deadly.
Governments inherently are evil, and that's just plain
simple truth. There I think that we part company, because government, this is the idea of democracy in America. If the government is a kingdom, if it's a dictatorship, if it's a theocracy, if it's the Soviet Union, I agree it's evil. But the whole idea of, you know, Jefferson and Madison and Washington was, let's create a government that is of, by, and for we the people. And we have fought and died for that for 230 years in this country. And when I hear people say the government is evil, I hear them spitting in the face of the founders of this nation and trashing the flag of the United States.
Well, have you ever read the Federalist Papers?
I have. I actually have, and I suspect that you haven't, Steve, because it took me the better part of a year to get all the way through the Federalist Papers.
Well, you got the Federalist Papers, and you also have the Anti-Federalist Papers.
Yes, I've read parts of those. Yes.
Yeah, I've read both of them. And
then you get it, that these guys, when they founded this country, they were very concerned about a repressive government, and their whole idea was, let's create a government where the will of the people is what prevails. And I don't get it how you could suggest that, you know, liberals are trying to turn America into a repressive state, when it's the conservatives who are out there spying on everybody and trying to pass all these laws about what you and I can do in our private lives.
Okay, well, first off, the government spying on people, I don't agree with any of that. There are certain things the government has to do to maintain its security. I understand that. But when it comes to individual rights, they have no right to infringe on any of us in our house, in our homes, or anywhere else for that matter, when it comes to our own private lives. That you and I agree on.
So then, you know, I mean, that's the liberal position. That's not the conservative position.
If you look at there's many different aspects other than the government spying on us. There's many different aspects. It's like the biggest blow to individual rights and freedoms is the Supreme Court ruling in New York, London, Connecticut, where it takes their private property.
Yeah, the Kelo decision. I agree with you. Liberals are furious about that.
In fact, it was
conservative Supreme Court justices appointed by and large by Reagan and Bush who made that decision.
No, it was Souter, Ginsburg, T. Kennedy.
Souter was a conservative Republican who was appointed by George Herbert Walker Bush.
If you look at all his rulings in the past since his appointment, he has gone far left.
I'm sorry, there are no liberals on the court. You could argue that Ruth Bader Ginsburg, when it comes to abortion, is a liberal. You've got some moderates on the court, and you've got a bunch of hardcore right-wingers.
Hard right-wingers that you say are more centered than the liberals on the court.
We have 1 minute left before we have to wrap this up. I'm sorry, just, you know, commercial radio here. What is a socialist?
A socialist is one who feels that the benefit of everyone takes precedence over the individual rights and freedoms.
Now, isn't that what they wrote into the Constitution of the United States?
That's exactly what they wrote in the Constitution of the United States.
So you're saying America is a socialist nation?
I'm saying we're getting there.
Well, you're saying that the founders intended it that way.
No, absolutely not.
Then why'd they write it into the Constitution?
They didn't write that in the Constitution. They wrote the individual rights and freedoms take precedence over the shared community values.
Well, no, they wrote in the Constitution that when the majority of people say something is a certain way, that's the way it is.
No, that's why we have a democratic republic.
Well, we do it through our elected representatives, but the effect is the same.
Well, unfortunately, the representatives that we elect have gone overboard and do not represent the people as they wish to be represented.
Well, in that regard, probably, Steve Lawrence, you and I agree more often than not. Steve Lawrence, the making of the police state. Thanks for being with us, Steve. 27 minutes past the hour.
Maybe you see people listening to their iPods, white earbuds dangling from their ears, and maybe you don't have an iPod yet because you don't see yourself as that type of person. So are you the type that has a CD player or a six-disc changer in your car? To heck with that. Don't limit yourself. Enjoy your entire CD collection anytime, all smushed into a tiny little iPod. Your iPod is your personal portable jukebox. Plug your iPod into your car stereo or home stereo and take it with you when you travel. No matter where you go, your music collection goes with you. iPods are easy to use and easy to import your music from your CD collection. Talk to us about this if you need help. iPod is your personal portable jukebox. Oh, it's a beautiful thing enjoying today's technologies. This is Dawn from Small Dog Electronics, New England's largest Apple specialist. Come see us in our Small Dog showroom in Waitsfield, Vermont, or on the web at smalldog.com. Small Dog, where you'll find high technology for low prices.
You've had enough. Enough harassment from bill collectors to last a lifetime. Enough arguments with your spouse about the bills. It doesn't have to be this way. Eliminate the stress by eliminating the debt. Make one toll-free call to Debt Relief of America. Let them show you how they can eliminate up to 60% of your credit card debt using programs most credit card companies keep secret from their customers. When you call DRA, you'll talk to a friendly, caring debt professional who understands what you're going through and can help you find a way out. The call and consultation are absolutely free. There is no cost or obligation. Debt Relief of America does all the work for you and negotiates directly with your creditors to get your bills wiped out. You won't pay a dime of the debt that is settled. Call for your free consultation. The next time the bill collector calls, say enough. Call now, 800-732-1825. That's 800-732-1825. 800-732-1825.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham.
And I'm Jesse Russell.
The AFL-CIO and the U.S. Business and Industry Council are co-hosting a conference on the U.S. trade crisis today in Washington, D.C. AFL-CIO Policy Director Thea Lee says a foreign trade deficit of more than $720 billion a year is unsustainable.
This isn't just labor, but it's also business and agriculture that are all being hurt by our trade policy.
Lee says the AFL-CIO has specific trade proposals to shake things up and attack the trade deficit.
One is an across-the-board temporary import surcharge. That is a tariff and is actually legal under WTO rules, under World Trade Organization rules. Article 12 provides when countries have a serious and chronic balance of payments problem, they are allowed to use a trade surcharge.
The AFL-CIO also wants the dollar devalued and supports a trade balancing system proposed by billionaire investor Warren Buffett that would match dollar values of exports and imports to restore a healthy trade balance.
Inmates in Texas are not entitled to a federal minimum wage.
That was the ruling from the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals on Friday in response to a sex offender's contention that his job in the state prison laundry entitles him to $5.15 per hour. The court said compulsory prison work is not a violation of the Constitution, and the failure of a state to specifically sentence an inmate to hard labor doesn't change the rules. The inmate wanted his wages credited to his inmate trust fund. The 7th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals recently filed a similar ruling stating that individuals are not imprisoned for the purpose of enabling them to earn a living.
B.F. Goodrich has told the United Steelworkers Union that it plans to cut production 30-40% in its Opelika, Alabama plant. Cheap overseas labor markets like China are cutting into U.S. tire production for the U.S. market. The USW is in national master contract talks with the tire industry, and B.F. Goodrich is the target company.
After 3 days on the strike lines, more than 200 nurses in Dubuque, Iowa, returned to work this past weekend, still with no contract on the table. The nurses are at odds with Findlay Hospital over work rules, staffing issues, and pay. Represented by the Service Employees International Union, talks are scheduled to start again on Monday. The union says nurses are prepared to return to the picket lines if a compromise can't be reached.
Here's today's economic report. Job creation over the past 3 months has averaged 108,000 a month in the U.S. That's less than what's needed to keep pace with population growth. Paul Craig Roberts, former associate editor of the Wall Street Journal editorial page and former assistant secretary of the Treasury under Reagan, says that jobs being created now are lower paid than the ones being lost to outsourcing. And that, he says, is one reason for the decline in real median household income for working families over the past 5 years. You've been listening to WIND, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
When you struggle with credit card bills every month, you're not just in debt. Debt is all around you.
I see people every day that are on the brink. They're going to go over the edge, and at the bottom is bankruptcy, and we pull them back.
The people who provide Care One Credit Counseling Services know how to help you get out of debt and get on with your life. So call now, 800-297-3019. That's 800-297-3019. We can help you stop the collection calls, pay off your debt sooner, and save up to 57% every month.
You do get to consolidate your payments. You only have to worry about making one payment a month instead of making three or four or five.
Call for licensing details. Get out of debt and get on with your life. Gather up your bills and talk to the people who can help, to the people who care. Call Care One Credit Counseling now. 800-297-3019. 800-297-3019. That's 800-297-3019.
Bringing democracy to the United States of America, here's Tom Hartman.
As a young man, I found politics in the Bush's army door. And I got real good at dirty tricks. My name, sir, is Karl Rove. Oh, Dick Cheney, don't you cry for me. Cause when your administration's gone, the right will kiss my knee.
Yes, welcome back. Viagra for your brain. Not for Limbaugh's, but for yours. The Tom Hartman radio program, 34 minutes past the hour. Yeah, I asked Steve Lawrence to stick around with us for another segment here. We've got some callers who want to talk to him. Our telephone number, 866-440-8466, toll free. And also, I'm fascinated by this, Steve, because I suspect that when you get right down to it, if we were to just like peel away all the layers, you and I both love this country. You and I both love the idea of individual liberty and freedom. You and I both love the idea of family and community and neighborhood being safe and secure. And I'm assuming that you and I both agree that democracy is a good thing. Am I right on those things?
Oh, absolutely. Democracy is a great thing.
Okay, then, and yet you've written a book saying that basically I'm part of the evil hordes.
Well, I don't know all your views. I've read some of your views, and I agree with a lot of your stuff on your website.
Uh-oh.
Ha ha. Well, see, that's what I mean. A real liberal and a real conservative are not, they're not one way or the other. They're more centered because you have some conservative views and some liberal views. Everyone, every normal American has that, and that's the overwhelming majority of America. But when I talk about the socialists, I'm actually talking about the ruling elite, the people like Al Gore, John Kerry.
Well, Al Gore and John Kerry are not the ruling elite. They don't have any power. And I mean, you want the ruling elite? Look at the Bush dynasty. Here you've got a family that's worth hundreds of millions of dollars that you know, grandfather Prescott Bush got busted by Franklin Roosevelt for supporting Adolf Hitler during the war. They have been in power multi-generations. I mean, you've got a president right now who was born in Connecticut on the family estate, went to college, went to elementary school, junior high school in Massachusetts in prep schools where his only extracurricular activity was to be a cheerleader. And yet he calls himself a Texan and pretends like he and every business he ever started, he failed. His one oil company, he had to be bailed out by Osama bin Laden's half-brother. His father was having breakfast with another brother of Osama bin Laden's at the moment that the 9/11 trade towers were coming down. I mean, you talk about the ruling elite. I think we need to be talking about the Bush family, Steve.
Well, you can talk about just about any of the high-level politicians. I mean, Ted Kennedy is a perfect example. You know, you say they don't have any real power, yet he got billions and billions of dollars for this failed tunnel project. That shows you what kind of power they do have. When they control the purse strings, they control what can and can't be done in this country.
Well, I've driven around Boston. I mean, yes, I agree with you. They obviously screwed the thing up. I don't think we can lay that at Ted Kennedy's feet. It was the city of Boston who did the contracting on that.
The thing is we can't lay the failure of the failed project, but we can lay the funding for a failed project at his feet because it was only supposed to be several hundred million dollars and it turned into $14 billion.
Well, again, I would suggest that you're scapegoating, and besides that, that's again, we can find a million little things to like, you know, take shots at each other with.
Yeah, well,
but I'm concerned about the big picture issues. Pardon?
$14 billion is not very little. That's a lot of money for me.
Well, it is for me too, and as I said, we can you know argue whose fault that is. I mean, you've got a Republican governor of Massachusetts. Let's keep in mind, Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
Who's ultimately responsible for that tunnel?
Well, it's like I said, the ruling elite, it crosses party lines. It's not. And
okay, I won't disagree with you on that. Let's just take a couple calls here. Let some of our callers talk to you because we're talking with Steve Lawrence. By the way, his book is generally not available in bookstores. It is available, however, on Amazon.com, The Making of a Police State.
You can order it through bookstores, but it's not on the shelf.
Yeah, okay. Tom in Minneapolis, Minnesota, you're live with Steve Lawrence. Hey, Tom.
Hey Steve,
yes.
I'm glad you brought this up because this word socialism is I find that it's often used incorrectly. Now you describe the word incorrectly. The definition of socialism is an economic system when government owns the distribution and manufacturing distribution of all property. Now,
or some other institution owns them
that
reflects the workers.
You're confusing the economic system with a system of governance. Democracy, we are a democracy, and the economic system is subservient to the democracy of we the people. Now, you think when a liberal describes democracy, you think that's socialism. You guys got that all confused. Sweden is a free democracy with regulated capitalism, and you call them a socialist tyranny. You got it all backwards.
I never called Sweden a socialist tyranny.
All you cons say that.
I'm not a con.
You're conservative. I'm from the right.
No, you're mistaken on that because there's a lot of conservative things that I don't agree with at all.
Okay,
well, but the subtitle of your book is How to Save America from the Liberal Agenda here, Steve.
The socialist agenda.
From the socialist agenda?
Well,
that's not what I'm reading.
No.
Well, you're reading the ad, yeah.
Define democracy and define socialism. I want to see if you know the difference between the two.
Democracy is where every person has a vote.
That we the people run the deal, right?
We're supposed to, yes. But
yeah,
as long as we don't have.
Now, what is socialism?
Socialism is where everything is government-owned, but it has a facade that the people have a choice in the matter.
So now, Franklin Roosevelt's New Deal, when we the people voted for Social Security and all the union rights, we the people voted for that. You guys call Franklin Roosevelt a socialist. I don't see how, when democracy is in action, you call that socialism.
No, I don't know of anyone in my circle of friends that call FDR a socialist.
Rush Limbaugh calls him that all the time.
He's not my circle of friends. I don't agree with a lot of what Rush Limbaugh says.
Okay, are you a libertarian?
No, I'm an independent thinker is what I am.
Well, then why for your book am I reading, you know, here's the promo from your book, Sneaky Tactics the Ruling Elite Use to Desensitize Our Children, Push Immoral Behavior, and Brainwash Them with a Socialist Mindset, Myths the Liberal Left Have Concocted, like Global Warming, to Give Them Greater Control Over Our Lives, code words closet socialists have created to force their agenda on the rest of America, why public safety for the children and the Green Movement should put you on alert. Why should public safety for the children and the Green Movement put you on alert?
Okay, public safety. Is it your choice whether or not you want to put a seatbelt on?
Well,
it is
not
safety.
My choice whether or not I have to pay taxes to care for you when you hit the emergency room because you didn't wear your seatbelt.
That's what insurance is for. See, this is my. If you read my book, you'll see there's a solution to that. The government doesn't have to get involved in that.
You mean you want the government to force everybody to buy insurance?
Well, the government's already doing that.
Well, there's a whole lot of uninsured people out there, so I'd say no, the government's not doing that.
Well, see, in our state, you have to have liability insurance, or you don't drive. If you get caught, you get a fine, which I agree with that, because that is a public safety issue. Because
but liability insurance isn't gonna protect me from having to pay for you when you hit the emergency room and you're paralyzed for the rest of your life, and somebody has to pay for that. Liability insurance doesn't cover that. Only if somebody else hit you would it cover that.
You should be responsible for your own insurance. That's a different issue than wearing a seatbelt.
So you think that big government should be forcing us to buy insurance so that people would have the freedom not to wear their seatbelts. And then the insurance company is going to say to you, okay, fine, if you're in an accident and you're not wearing your seatbelt, we're not going to cover you because they're not crazy.
Well, see, what it is the government doesn't need to be in the job of regulating any of our behavior. And just like you said, they shouldn't be regulating our behavior in our bedrooms. What's the difference? Okay, you got an insurance company, say, look, why don't you put a little disclaimer in your policy that says, failure to wear the proper safety equipment may result in decreased benefits. I guarantee you, that's going to get you more people complying with seatbelt than the government saying you're going to do it or else.
Well, you would think so, but in fact, no. I mean, they tried that on packs of cigarettes, and it didn't work real well, did it?
Well, cigarettes, that's just a nasty habit. But see, I've worked medicine for most of my career in the military, and I wear a seatbelt everywhere I go. That's my choice. I was wearing a seatbelt long before they came up with the laws wearing a seatbelt. And I personally think you would be crazy not to, because I've seen what happens when you don't.
Yeah, okay. Let's go back to our callers here. Bill in Seattle, Washington. You're live with Steve Lawrence. Hey, Bill.
Steve, yeah, you just mentioned that you've been in the military most of your life. Don't you think it's significant that the military is one of the most successful institutions in our society, and at the same time, it's probably the most socialistic institution in our society? The previous caller hit the nail on the head. Socialism is government ownership of the means of production. The government owns you. They own, you know, they issue you a uniform. It's a very, socialistic system. You have cradle to grave medical care. You have, you don't get paid on by your initiative or
you get paid by seniority.
So
Steve, take a shot at that one.
Okay, that's a very good one, because a lot of aspects of the military is socialistic. But in order to preserve the freedoms of this country, the freedom to be able to get on the phone and talk, people sacrifice in the military to preserve that freedom. And they give up certain rights and certain aspects during their time in the military. And it's not a volunteer force. I gave up 22 years in order for my kids to be able to speak free, to be free, to own their own property, to do what they need to do. But in a socialist state, that's taken away from you.
Well, I really appreciate your patriotism. Why did you quit after 23 years? If you're so patriotic, why did you quit at that time?
Well, I served in the Persian Gulf War.
Oh, I wonder, did it have anything to do with the fact that you get a pension for the rest of your life?
It has something to do with it.
After 20 years?
I have irreparable lung damage from the vapors, from the sarin gas that was burning and the oil fires that were burning, and I'm incapable of doing much of anything other than sitting and writing.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
I would love to have a job that I'm capable of. I can make a lot more money doing a regular job.
Yeah.
Did you bring suit against the government for
well, you can't do that, Bill, which is a problem. Bill, thanks a lot for the call. We have a couple more calls. We're talking with Steve Lawrence, who wants to tell us about how the liberal agenda is going to take down America. right after this, 45 minutes past the hour. It's the Tom Hartman Program.
This is Vasilnik Raskin. I'm the president and founder of the Organic Wine Company. What happened when you, Thomas, gave us a plug, the phone started ringing. The first person said, whatever it is that you're selling, I want to buy it. And for the next few hours, the phone rang nonstop. The people who listen to your program are what they call in the business my target audience, people who are conscious and responsible and try to do the right thing and try to think for themselves. I would encourage anyone to advertise on the Thomas Hartman Show absolutely without question, whether that be on the national level or the local level, and you will absolutely get results. The way you can learn more about our imported organically grown wines from France is by calling us. The phone number is 1-888-ECO-WINE, or you can visit our site at www.ecowine.com.
Scientists work to clarify the link between intense hurricanes and warm ocean water. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Several scientific studies in the past 2 years linked the increasing strength of hurricanes to the rising temperature of the oceans. Researchers at the Georgia Institute of Technology have done a study that backs up that explanation. Judith Curry is an atmospheric scientist at Georgia Tech. She and her colleagues scrutinized some weather conditions that accompanied hurricanes going back to 1970. Experts categorize the intensity of hurricanes on a scale of 1 to 5, and Curry says storms at the top end of the scale are becoming more numerous.
There is a greater number of intense hurricanes. We found a doubling of Category 4 and 5 hurricanes since 1970.
Curry says the intensity of hurricanes can change from storm to storm or season to season, but these changes in intensity are happening on a global scale over a period of decades. She says they seem connected to the rising temperature of the ocean surface. As the Earth grows warmer, the oceans get warmer, and more water evaporates and condenses in the atmosphere. That process releases heat, and that energy fuels the hurricanes. Curry says hurricanes form in warm regions, and even a small increase in ocean temperature can make a noticeable difference.
Well, when the temperatures are already high, you know, up around 85, 90 degrees, then one more degree can actually make quite a big difference in terms of how much water is evaporated from the oceans and how much additional fuel you provide that storm.
Curry's studies were published in the journal Science this past March and last September. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Are you working 8-hour days, fighting traffic and long commutes? How would you like to work from home and never have to worry about finances again? Now you can. Cindy is a mother of three beautiful kids and used to clean houses for a living to make ends meet. She found out about HomeBiz6.com. Her first month full-time, she earned $2,500. Her income increased about $1,000 per month and now earns $16,000 a month. Tori says, "Before I started my own business, I worked 10-hour days in a high-pressure job. I wore out my car commuting back and forth to work. Now I make over $100,000 a year in my pajamas." Go to HomeBiz6.com. Order a free, no-obligation work-from-home training package. Shipping not included. That's HomeBiz6.com. Tracy, a restaurant manager who came home to be a full-time mom, made $1,000 her first month and was earning $5,000 a month just 6 months in the business. Get free information now. Log on to HomeBiz6.com. That's HomeBiz, the number 6.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And it's hard to say who you are these days, but you run on anyway, don't you, baby?
And welcome back. 9.5 minutes before the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. The place where we dare to ask, is Walmart a person? And we dare to say, no! Not a chance. You're talking with Steve Lawrence, the author of The Making of a Police State, a book that How to Save America from the Liberal Agenda, as the material that comes along with it says. And Steve, I would say in many ways, I think probably one of the things that's most interesting about this conversation to our listeners is that you are the person that Thomas Frank wrote about in his book, What's the Matter with Kansas? I mean, you're sort of the middle American independent voter who's, you know, to heck with both of them, the Democrats and the Republicans, if I'm not, unless I'm getting this wrong, that you consider yourself a conservative, and yet it sounds to me like you would have some serious disagreements with what's going on with the Bush administration.
Well, I'm not a conservative. I'm an independent, and I am very disillusioned with all our politicians.
Yeah.
There's very few of them that I mean, Joe Lieberman would be my favorite if he ran for president.
Interesting. Okay, Bonnie in Burgettstown, Pennsylvania. Bonnie, you have a question for Lawrence. Steve Lawrence.
First of all, I'd like to salute you for your service. Thank you. And my next question would be, since you are very concerned about Kennedy's outlays in pork, the $14 billion, which is all over the United States, in blue states, red states, it's a big problem. I agree with that. Are you concerned about the $9 billion that is lost in Iraq somewhere?
In cash, no less. This is an amount of money that you can see from outer space, and it has gone missing in Iraq.
I'm concerned with any government waste and abuse of our money, because it's our money. You know, we need some oversight to the politicians on how they're spending our money, and people in the government how they're using our money. And yes, I am very concerned over $9 billion.
So Steve Lawrence, should we go to a system where lobbyists can no longer lobby? Should we say that corporations aren't persons and they can't make campaign contributions? Should we go to public financing where everybody kicks in $5 and that's what gets used to elect the president? I mean, what's the solution here?
Well, you have to walk a very tight rope, because corporations, I really have a problem with corporate welfare in this country. And the corporate welfare exists because of the lobbyists.
Oh, it's about 10 to 1 over you, over human welfare.
Exactly. And I would rather see, you know, I don't want to see a complete outlaw of all lobbyists, because many of them represent certain small groups of people that benefit the whole America. But the corporate lobbyists, we need to see if we can tackle that and do something about it.
That's interesting. Patrick in Boston, Massachusetts, you're on the line with Steve Lawrence.
Hello?
Hey, Patrick.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's up?
I was just wondering, I want to ask Steve about his views, if he's pretty much with against socialism, against social spending, most of it. I see that there's a racial crisis today in our society. I mean, from civil rights movement, we're more segregated today in terms of wealth inequality than we were back in the 60s. And it's, I mean, since Bush has came into office, blacks and whites, the income levels are still growing more and more apart. And I just wondered how...
Blacks are getting poorer and poorer, whites are getting richer and richer since Bush came into office, in other words.
Exactly. Yeah. And what are your views on this? I mean, without social programs, affirmative action, how would you conquer this?
Without the things that you call socialism, Steve Lawrence, what do you do?
The first thing is, I believe in a hand up, not a handout.
Okay.
So the very best welfare program is a job. We agree on that.
Exactly.
So you know, Franklin Roosevelt looked at that and he said, you know, there's not enough employers out there offering jobs, so we'll do it ourselves. The government will become the employer of last resort. We'll create the WPA and the CCC and these kind of things, Civilian Conservation Corps. And he gave people jobs, and they had dignity, and they built bridges, and they built roads, and they planted forests that we're now harvesting for timber, and he rebuilt America. And yet most people who say the kind of same things that you're saying in your book would call that socialism.
Well, no, if you read the book, you'll see that that's not true. If you read the book, I think you'd be pleasantly surprised on how I approach a lot of these things. But Roosevelt was on the right track, hiring people, creating jobs for people, and paying them. Ohio tried the same thing about 20 years ago with the welfare. They tried to do away with the welfare. They said, if you want to earn money, then you come out here to Roads and Grounds and you pick up trash on the side of the road, you do landscaping, whatever.
And we'll pay you a decent wage for it.
And they were paid a wage for it.
Right.
But the ACLU came in and said, no, that's unconstitutional. They deserve welfare. So they pretty much nipped it in the bud.
Well, you know, the ACLU gets blamed for a whole lot of things that they never did. But I don't know about that. Steve, I'm curious who you voted for president in the last two elections.
The first election, I voted for Bush.
Uh-huh.
And this last election, because I have problems with John Kerry, I was basically voting for the lesser of two evils.
You voted for Bush both times.
Yes.
Interesting. Virginia in Peoria, Arizona on the line. Hey, Virginia, you're live with Steve Lawrence. We have just about a minute left, by the way.
Okay, this shouldn't take very long. What I'm wondering is, I've been accused of having a liberal agenda, and no one has really clearly defined it to me. What is a liberal agenda?
Steve, you're the official spokesperson for Middle America here. What is a liberal agenda?
Yeah, if you want to exert control over other people or tell other people how to live or what to do with their private property, that you're walking in line behind the
But isn't that what Bush and the Republicans are doing? I mean, isn't that Bill, you know, Bush flying to Washington, D.C. just so he can sign the legislation forcing Terri Schiavo to have that feeding tube in her throat, for example?
See, I don't agree with that move either.
I see. Interesting.
So, you know, that's what I mean. Most of America share both sides. They're not one or the other.
Well, I've been saying that for a long, long time, Steve. It's one of the reasons why I call this program Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle, because I think that a lot of Americans, the issues are being demagogued, and a lot of Americans are saying, hey, wait a minute, we want to have clean environment, we want to have strong labor unions, we want to have good social security system, and we don't want the government in our bedrooms telling us how to live, and we don't want the government telling us what intoxication... interesting. But at the same time, I'd say I think that you've been drinking a little bit of the Kool-Aid out there. But,
not at all.
Okay.
I think everybody does to a certain extent. But.
Well, probably. I appreciate you being on. Steve Lawrence, The Making of a Police State. We'll be back after the news.
Tom Hartman program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
I work all day, Dr. Phil, and okay, fine, I guess I'm sort of a homebody, so I feel like it's really never going to happen for me.
Look, love is not like the pizza man. Hi, I'm going door to door looking for a life partner. Not going to happen.
Dr. Phil is now on Match.com. His insights inspire millions every day and help them find love. Now with our free starter kit, you can see if we're right for you. Visit Match.com, the number one site for love.
I'm here with Sandy from GSK. Sandy, what can anyone do about so many people slipping through the cracks of the health insurance system?
We fill the gaps.
How's that?
Well, I run programs that provide over $1 million worth of medicines to folks in need every day.
What kind of people in need?
Like people who've lost their jobs, people who don't have health insurance, people who can't pay for the medicines they need now.
Sounds like a huge job.
I think it's the best job in the company.
GSK, finding a way forward. One day at a time.
When you struggle with credit card bills every month, you're not just in debt. Debt is all around you.
I see people every day that are on the brink. They're going to go over the edge, and at the bottom is bankruptcy, and we pull them back.
The people who provide Care One Credit Counseling Services know how to help you get out of debt and get on with your life. So call now, 800-297-3019. That's 800-297-3019. We can help you stop the collection calls, pay off your debt sooner, and save up to 57% every month.
You do get to consolidate your payments. You only have to worry about making one payment a month instead of making three or four or five.
Call for licensing details. Get out of debt and get on with your life. Gather up your bills and talk to the people who can help, to the people who care. Call Care One Credit Counseling now. 800-297-3019. 800-297-3019. That's 800-297-3019.
Air America Radio News, I'm Christabel in Siavwadi. Israeli forces re-entered Lebanon for the first time in 6 years today after Hezbollah members seized two Israeli soldiers in a cross-border raid. Israel reacted quickly, launching artillery and air attacks on Lebanese infrastructure as well as suspected Hezbollah bases. At least two Lebanese civilians are reported dead, and some reports have said as many as seven Israeli soldiers are dead in battles inside Lebanon. Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert vowed that there would be no negotiations and called called the abductions, quote, an act of war on the part of the Lebanese government, citing its close ties to Hezbollah. The toll from yesterday's bomb attack targeting Mumbai's crowded commuter trains continues to rise, with the figure rising today to 200 dead with more than 700 wounded. No group has come forward yet to claim the responsibility for the 8 explosions during the Tuesday evening rush hour, but suspicion has begun to narrow on Kashmiri fighters. India has long accused Pakistan of supplying training, funding and equipment to the militants, and today called upon Islamabad to dismantle what it called the infrastructure of terrorism. The U.S. Army has decided to terminate its exclusive relationship with defense contractor Halliburton, ending a controversial deal that awarded the defense contractor billions of dollars worth of contracts on a no-bid basis. Originating in 2001, the deal immediately drew the fire of critics who claim that Vice President Cheney's tenure as Halliburton's CEO created a clear conflict of interest. Future contracts will be split among 3 companies to be chosen this fall, at which time Halliburton will be free to submit a bid. And the Massachusetts state legislature isn't expected to get around to considering a proposed amendment to turn back the state's 3-year-old policy on gay marriage until late tonight or even tomorrow. But that hasn't stopped demonstrators on both sides of the debate from protesting at the state house. The marriage amendment, which has the support of Governor Mitt Romney and prominent Catholic officials in the state, is similar to the federal version recently shot down in the Senate and is intended to block future same-sex marriages in the state. The state Supreme Judicial Court ruled Monday that the amendments could proceed, leaving only the legislature standing in the way of its passage. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Christabel Insia Bwadi.
News sponsored in part by Mahatma and Carolina Rice. Need an idea for dinner tonight? Rediscover home cooking with Mahatma and Carolina Rice and make old ideas new again. For easy to prepare recipe videos, visit them on the web.
Premature babies need hope, love, and you. Premature birth is the leading cause of newborn death and many serious health problems. It happens to 1 out of 8 babies in the U.S. You can help premature babies by joining March of Dimes Walk America and raising money to support research and programs to find out how to prevent premature birth and how to help families who experience it. Register today. Get your sponsor form at Kmart or Famous Footwear or visit walkamerica.org or call 1-800-525-WALK.
Are you working 8-hour days, fighting traffic and long commutes? How would you like to work from home and never have to worry about finances again? Now you can. Cindy is a mother of 3 beautiful kids and used to clean houses for a living to make ends meet. She found out about HomeBiz6.com. Her first month full-time, she earned $2,500. Her income increased about $1,000 per month and now earns $16,000 a month. Tori says, "Before I started my own business, I worked 10-hour days in a high-pressure job. I wore out my car commuting back and forth to work. Now I make over $100,000 a year in my pajamas." Go to HomeBiz6.com. Order a free, no-obligation work-from-home training package. Shipping not included. That's HomeBiz6.com. Tracy, a restaurant manager who came home to be a full-time mom, made $1,000 her first month and was earning $5,000 a month just 6 months in the business. Get free information now. Log on to HomeBiz6.com. That's HomeBiz6.com.
Is the IRS ruining your life? Are you afraid of losing everything? You can end the despair you feel right now. Get ready to write down an important phone number you're going to need to help solve your IRS nightmare. The number is 800-661-0491.
Hello, I'm John Harris, president of J.K. Harris & Company, the nation's largest tax representation firm. IRS problems have a way of ruining every aspect of your life if you let them. They don't go away on their own. The IRS can attach your wages, your pension, your savings, even your Social Security checks. If you owe back taxes, don't despair. Since 1997, our former IRS agents and tax professionals have successfully negotiated settlements for our clients, saving them millions of dollars.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, call J.K. Harris at 800-661-0491 now. You may qualify to dramatically reduce your tax debt. Call 800-661-0491. That's 800-661-0491.
We Icelanders live longer than you Americans and have the world's lowest rate of heart disease, stroke, and high blood pressure. What's our secret? It's omega-3 fish oil from the clean, cold waters of Iceland. And now our powerful omega-3s are available in America. omega-3s that have twice the power of most omega-3s, and you can get a bottle of it from Iceland Health for free.
As a result of taking Iceland Health, my blood pressure has dropped tremendously.
I feel more flexible, and I feel like my energy is up.
Besides a healthier heart, our omega-3s can improve memory and energy, and have powerful benefits for skin and joints. Find out how to get a free bottle and feel the difference for yourself. Call 1-800-406-3375.
Iceland Health Omega-3 made me feel 100% better.
The secret to a healthier heart is out. Get your free bottle of Omega-3 by calling 1-800-406-3375. Call 1-800-406-3375.
Uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back. 6 minutes past the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. I want to get into some economic issues here. There's just some extraordinary news. Today's Wall Street Journal about China's trade surplus. Well, we're in the midst of a trade deficit. And it really, this becomes part of a whole, a much larger story that has to do with a lot of the issues that we were just talking with Steve Lawrence about a few minutes ago. And a raging conversation going on in the chat room, by the way, right now. Blue says Israel is declaring war. I wouldn't call it that, but where'd it go? Here it is right here, CNN. Just as an FYI, just as a heads up, Hezbollah guerrillas killed 7 Israeli soldiers and captured 2 more Wednesday, prompting Israeli airstrikes and military raids inside southern Lebanon, Israeli officials said. We'll keep you up to date on how that shakes out. Well, in fact, the newscasts will be. But the point of the economics, the debate that's going on in the chat room is whether our guest in the last hour, and the reason I kept the guy on for as long as I did, I rarely do, was... As I said, and I say this sincerely, and I've been having this, as I said, this conversation with the folks in the chat room, which you can get to, by the way, by going to tomhartman.com and just click live chat, and it'll drop you right in there, is that this is what happens, I think, when you have somebody who grows up, and let me not personalize this to Steve, to our guest, because I don't know him personally. I've never met the guy, and I haven't read his book. He's one of these authors who gets plugged into the right-wing PR machine, and they send these emails out to all the talk show hosts, and of course 99% of them are right-wingers. They have no idea that I'm not saying, book this guy on. And, he would go on O'Reilly's show or Hannity's show or whatever and say, the socialists are out to get us, and they'd all be going, yeah. But this is what he reflects, let's say, rather than speaking of Steve himself, but the mentality he reflects, in my opinion, is not essentially evil. And that's why I didn't, occasionally I'll have guests on where it's just like, my job to just kick their butts. Their politics are just so patently transparent. People who are shills for the oil industry, for example, who are coming out, there's no global warming. And they know it is, right? They've actually read the studies. But here we have, frankly, in my opinion, middle America. I'm telling you, I go back to Michigan, and, right here in Portland, Oregon, I can come across them, and certainly in Vermont, where I used to live, and down when we lived in Atlanta, they're all over the place, but particularly in middle America. Here you have the average American. I mean, this is, in many ways, you have people who grew up on the idea of liberty and freedom without really understanding the history of this country, without really understanding the history of democracy in the United States, without really understanding really the ideals and ideas of the Enlightenment of the 17th century, the 1600 writers, the writers in the 1600s like Rousseau, Jean-Jacques Rousseau, or John Locke, who were the foundational thinkers on which the American Revolution was based. Or, for that matter, the thinkers of the Iroquois Confederacy, who don't understand the history of capitalism, who'd never read Adam Smith, for example, Wealth of Nations. It was published in 1776. It's a very hard book to read. Or, for that matter, the Federalist Papers. I mean, Steve claims to have read the Federalist Papers. I'll take him at his word. But I'll tell you, as somebody who has read the Federalist Papers, and it's a slog. It's like reading the Bible. I mean, you've got to really make a commitment to it. You've got to say, okay, I'm going to do this for 15 minutes every night before I go to sleep, and because it will put you to sleep in places. And in places, it'll just grab you, and you just can't put it down. But you get through it, and you get an understanding. You actually get inside the minds of the founders of this country. And you read that stuff, and you get it, that the pablum that's being passed out by Fox News and the Hannitys and O'Reillys and Limbaughs of the world, that this very toxic, frankly, pablum of us-them mentality is, A, ultimately destructive to America, and B, leads to this kind of us-them notion. And as I said, there are people that I bring on the program, you know, with some regularity, just to have a political debate where my goal is to say, hey, you know, I'm right, you're wrong, and here's why, and I can prove it. And that's where I started with this guy. And then I got it that he wasn't in the employ of some, you know, right-wing think tank. He wasn't a shill for the Republican Party. That he was one of these people who has been watching too much Fox News and reading too much right-wing propaganda, reading the right-wing websites. And, you know, he needs to spend a few weeks reading CommonDreams.org or BuzzFlash.com or OpEdNews.com or Truthout.org. He needs to spend a few weeks listening to Air America Radio or Progressive Talk Radio, you know, the other progressive programs out there, Stephanie Miller, Ed Schultz, Bill Press. He needs to wake up. But, again, not just to pick on Steve, because, you know, he would say, okay, he's fine, he's wide awake. But, like I said, I come across these people all the time. Folks who truly believe this stuff and really love this country. And the challenge that the Democratic Party faces, and even bigger, the challenge that the Greens face and progressives in this country, is having conversations with folks like this where we can say, you know, there's a lot of stuff on which we agree, which is what he was coming around to toward the end of the conversation. I mean, I didn't have the data to convince him that global warming is real.
he's read the studies, after all, right? World famous climatologist.
It's like, you know, that's like trying to argue with the Holocaust deniers or something like that. I mean, it's just they're just locked into it. But eventually, even the Holocaust deniers very often figure out that they've been fed a line. And I think a lot of global warming deniers are figuring that out. But the point is that we have to you and I, and the politics of we, the Democratic Party, the progressives, the Progressive Party in Vermont, where I lived for the last 10 years, the Green Party in most of the country, unaffiliated progressives, moderate Republicans for that matter, you know, good old-fashioned rational Republicans, have to figure out a way to have a conversation with folks like Steve, where when the conversation is over, they're no longer saying government is a it, which is out to get us. And they have figured out that the history of America is that government is us. And the extent to which government has become an it, which is out to get us, is the extent to which we have failed to participate in our civil institutions, in our civic institutions, excuse me. Well, both. And we need to be participating, we need to be bringing people into this so that we can all collectively say, yeah, government is us. And there are some forces that are fighting very strong, and this is where, you know, folks like Steve and many conservatives get it right. They just have the wrong enemy. There are forces out there that very much don't want government to be us. They don't want government to represent we the people. They want government to represent something else. And they throw up these smoke screens. They say, oh, government is going to prevent you from having prayer in school. As if that's like the beginning and end of the whole thing. And first of all, government doesn't prevent prayer in school. It's a lie. Anybody can pray in school. What government says is that a teacher can't lead a prayer in school, can't force prayer in school. And, you know, what's so odd is you talk to these conservatives and say, okay, fine, you want prayer in school? I've got this Wiccan minister who's going to come over to your school and he's going to conduct the prayers for the next year. How's that with you? And they go, ha! And all of a sudden, they figure out that their story breaks down, and that's the thing. We have to figure out how to have these communications. By the way, somebody sent me a note during the break saying you need to apologize for trashing this guy's military service. if I said anything that seemed like a denigrated Steve's military service, I'm sorry. It's not the kind of thing that I would do, so I'm pretty sure I didn't. What I did say when he was talking about the lung damage he sustained during Gulf War I is I said, I'm sorry to hear about that. And what I meant was that I was sorry to hear about his lung damage, because that happened to a lot of our soldiers. And again, I mean, you know, he doesn't get it, I'm sure. Maybe I'm wrong, but I would guess that he doesn't get it. Now, one of the reasons for that is that we're dropping depleted uranium on these places because the nuclear power industry has, in taking over our democratic institutions, figured out this is a cheap way to get rid of toxic waste. And that the military-industrial complex that the Republican President Eisenhower warned us about has, you know, is got its fingers into all this stuff. So anyhow, it's a complex and fascinating issue, and we'll continue discussing it. We're going to get a news report from Talk Radio News, and then we'll come back to your phone calls. I see a couple of people want to call and talk about Lawrence's views on these things. And I do want to get into the economics of what's going on right now. What's the deal with Bush saying that the economy is in great shape? Hey, the deficit is down. What's happening with China? What's happening with the dollar? Why is it that gold is going up right now? What does that mean? Congressman Ron Paul just came out and said that in the last 10 years, the Fed has cut in half the value of the U.S. dollar. We're going to talk with Ron Paul about that later on in the week. But, what does this mean right now? We're going to get into these issues during this hour. 16 minutes past the hour. I'm Tom Hartman.
On TNT, from executive producer Jerry Bruckheimer, Without a Trace, one of television's most watched shows.
Why don't you tell us what really happened?
And now, find out why. With four back-to-back episodes every Wednesday night, join the search at 7, 8, 9, and 10.
Drop the gun!
So, Without a Trace, four back-to-back episodes tonight at 7, 6 Central on TNT.
I love to take outdoor pictures, but when my allergies get really bad, my itchy, watery eyes keep me from doing what I love to do. I feel like I'm in a fog. Now, I'm Claritin Clear, which means I'm staying in control of my allergies and staying alert. Claritin gives me non-drowsy relief from my worst sneezing, runny nose, and itchy eyes for 24 hours. And only Claritin is proven to make me as alert and focused as someone without allergies. So I can think more clearly and I won't miss a thing. 24-hour non-drowsy Claritin. Live Claritin Clear.
Use as directed. Only brand clinically tested.
America's working poor recently suffered another body blow in the Congress. But you probably missed the news since it barely made a blip on the media establishment's radar. The blow came in the Senate, which voted down a modest increase in our nation's minimum wage. This is front page news to millions of families that are trying to survive on jobs that pay at or near a minimum wage that's been stuck at $5.15 an hour for nearly a decade. But the media barons, who devote lavish coverage to the prosperity being enjoyed by the economic elites, don't see this as a story. The New York Times, for example, relegated it to a single paragraph on page 22 at the tail end of a column covering eight other topics. Had they deigned to look into the story, here are a few important facts they would have found. There are 7.3 million Americans presently working for minimum wage. Another 8.2 million of us are paid only a dollar or less above the minimum. 72% of minimum wage workers are adults. The average worker brings home more than half of the family's weekly income. A third bring home 100% of their family's earnings. 60% of these workers are women. 760,000 are single moms. $5.15 an hour is a gross pay of $10,500 a year for full-time work, poverty pay. The last increase in the minimum wage has been entirely eroded by inflation. The purchasing power of $5.15 today is the equivalent of $4.23 in 1997, the year the wage was raised from 4.25 an hour. This is Jim Hightower saying, this is not merely an economic story, but a deeply moral issue, especially at a time when workers have greatly increased productivity and helped generate historic levels of growth and profits. If the media chieftains wonder why they're losing readers and viewers, they might note that they callously ignore news of real importance to ordinary folks.
Ever notice how people differ on how America's doing?
On Wall Street, they say things are going great. Big oil's profits are through the roof. CEOs are raking in millions. And big corporations love paying foreigners those dirt cheap wages. Different story for the rest of us. Gas prices are murder, millions of jobs are being exported, and now they're saying our kids will have a lower standard of living. Something's got to change. Something already has, and it's this. The people who've always fought to give the rest of us a stronger voice are losing their clout, America's unions. It hasn't happened by accident. The laws that protect the workers' right to choose a union are weaker than ever, and Wall Street wants to keep it that way. So America's got a choice. We can let Wall Street keep telling us how things work, or we can restore a worker's freedom to choose a union without fear of being fired, the way democracy's supposed to work. Paid for by the United Steelworkers on the World Wide Web at usw.org.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Have you ever got a note from your bank saying,
"Greetings, your account just shrank by 25 or 30 bucks. Sorry, friend, you're out of luck. You bounced a check. That's what it was. It happens to the best of us. Please cover it quick."
And when you do, you find you got another one or two. Because what they done and never seen it fail, they notified you by the U.S. mail. Cost them almost 40 cents, but more than worth that little expense. Because by the time you receive that letter, their situation got even better. Your first overdraft cost a couple more. Now you own the pile of money for sure.
They hope you never wonder in your little head why they don't send you an email instead. A quicker way and cheaper, too, for them as well as the customer, you.
Or an automated call to your phone or pager would be an improvement vastly major, but they lose all those overdraft fees. They charge you a profit center very large. See, that's what they call it. The banks charge you two or three times and then say,
"Thanks for making us rich at your expense. Thank God you haven't got the sense to ask us, please, won't you install the software that'll place a call or send an email to let you know."
Because, friends, that's how we make our dough.
Thanks to Jim Turek, BlueCanyonProductions.com, for that. Victoria Jones is with us. She's our senior Stuck in the Senate studio correspondent for the Talk Radio News Service, TalkRadioNews.com. Hey, Victoria.
Well, hey, Tom. Yeah, here I am, stuck in the Senate studio. Now, our Senate studio is marginally larger than our White House one, which, as you know, I've complained about being smaller than a toilet. This is about the size of a toilet that you would have at home, a half bath, basically.
So it's bigger than the porta potty.
It is bigger than the port. Yes, it's bigger than the porta potty. The White House one is about the size of a porta potty with about 3 inches to spare.
I see. Okay.
And the White House one is in the basement of the White House. This one is shoved right up into the roof of the Capitol.
Oh, so it's nice and warm on a hot day.
Oh, it's lovely. And when if we ever do get an incoming, straight through.
Oh my! God forbid. Oh, my. Okay, so Victoria Jones, why are you stuck in the Senate studio? What's going on in Washington, D.C. today?
Well, hearing in the House Armed Services Committee, fascinating hearing this morning on the Guantanamo Bay detainees. Some of the same suspects actually as testified yesterday before the Senate Judiciary Committee, and it wouldn't surprise me if they're the same people as testify tomorrow before the Senate Armed Services Committee. It seems the administration has trotted out its ponies, and they're putting on a show all over town. In particular, this chap Bradbury, who is acting counsel for the Office of Legal Counsel, acting Attorney General for the Office of Legal Counsel. This is the gentleman who yesterday, in answer to a question from Patrick Leahy, said, "The president is always right."
Yeah, and in fact, let me just play that interaction. It only runs a minute here, so our listeners will know what you're talking about, because this is a real... Pat Leahy is the senior senator from Vermont. He's also he's the number two guy in the House Judiciary, or the Senate Judiciary Committee, and before he became a senator, he was a prosecuting attorney. I believe he was a federal prosecutor, but I know he was a prosecuting attorney in Vermont, and I've met the guy. He's as straight and honest as the day is long, and a Democrat, and a good, solid guy. And here he is, Pat Leahy, talking to Stephen Bradbury.
And the president said very specifically, and he said it to our European allies, he's waiting for the Supreme Court decision, and that tell him whether he was supposed to close Guantanamo or not. After he said, it upheld his position on Guantanamo. In effect, it actually said neither. Where did he get that impression?
Well,
the president's not a lawyer. You are the Justice Department advisor. Did you give him such a cockamamie idea or what?
The Hamden decision, Senator, does implicitly recognize that we're in a war, that the president's war powers were triggered by the attacks on the country, and that law of war paradigm applies.
Yeah, I don't think the president was talking about the nuances of the law of war paradigm. He was saying this was going to tell him that he could keep Guantanamo open or not after what he said, he could.
Well, it's
was the president right or was he wrong?
It's under the law of war.
Was the president right or was he wrong?
The president is always right.
President's always right.
President's always right.
Now, that's what you say when you know who your boss is.
Yeah, you absolutely do. And there's a tiny part of me that understands him saying that. But on the other hand, there's another part of me that says, this is the age of television. Didn't you know what that was going to sound like?
Yeah. Now, the tiny part of you that knows that he should have said that or that he was going to say that or whatever, is that the tiny part of you that drinks too much on Saturday night? I don't understand what part of you that is, Victoria.
The part of me that thinks, okay, this guy has to go and sit the other side of a desk from George W. Bush, who loses his temper with people and who's going to have to go and report to him after these hearings.
That's right, because Bush is famously brutal with people. As Laura's sitting there chain-smoking her cigarettes, George W. Walks around screaming obscenities at people routinely in his office. And I don't think most Americans realize that, but you read the biographies of the people who've been in the White House, and you talk to White House correspondents like you, and that's pretty much the way it is, isn't it?
That's what I hear. I've never been subjected to it or witnessed it, but that's what I hear.
Yeah. So this guy works for George W. Bush, and the last thing he wants is to be sitting there, you know, while Laura's, you know, blowing smoke in the air, and he's George W.'s slamming his fists on tables and screaming obscenities at him.
Right. That's if he ever gets as high as that. He is an acting assistant attorney general.
That's sort of like saying that he's the lawyer that was hired by Manpower.
That pretty much.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the one they put up to testify.
Amazing, amazing. Okay, well, we'll dig into this a little deeper tomorrow. Victoria Jones, our senior stuck in the Senate studio correspondent for the Talk Radio News Service, talkradionews.com. Thanks, Victoria.
Thank you.
Good talking with you. 27 minutes past the hour, right here on the True People's Radio, the Tom Hartman Program.
Maybe you see people listening to their iPods, white earbuds dangling from their ears, and maybe you don't have an iPod yet because you don't see yourself as that type of person. So are you the type that has a CD player or a six-disc changer in your car? To heck with that. Don't limit yourself. Enjoy your entire CD collection anytime, all smushed into a tiny little iPod. Your iPod is your personal portable jukebox. Plug your iPod into your car stereo or home stereo and take it with you when you travel. No matter where you go, your music collection goes with you. iPods are easy to use and easy to import your music from your CD collection. Talk to us about this if you need help. iPod is your personal portable jukebox. Oh, it's a beautiful thing enjoying today's technologies. This is Dawn from Small Dog Electronics, New England's largest Apple specialist. Come see us in our Small Dog showroom in Waitsfield, Vermont, or on the web at smalldog.com. Small Dog, where you'll find high technology for low prices.
Are you having trouble with your credit card payments? Is the stress and the pressure starting to affect your life? You don't have to do this alone. Call Debt Relief of America. They can help you eliminate up to 60% of your credit card debt. Debt Relief of America is a professional debt negotiation firm that has proven to wipe out over $5 million of credit card debt in the last year alone. You don't have to go bankrupt. You can erase your debt so interest and late fees quit piling up on you. Call Debt Relief of America today for a free, no-obligation debt consultation. Their caring, friendly consultants will answer your questions so you can begin to get your debt problem fixed. Call for your free consultation. 800-732-1825. That's 800-732-1825. You don't have to feel like you're drowning in debt. You have an army of debt negotiators on your side, so you can win the battle with credit card debt. Call 800-732-1825. That's 800-732-1825.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham.
And I'm Jesse Russell.
The AFL-CIO and the U.S. Business and Industry Council are co-hosting a conference on the U.S. trade crisis today in Washington, D.C. AFL-CIO Policy Director Thea Lee says a foreign trade deficit of more than $720 billion a year is unsustainable.
This isn't just labor, but it's also business and agriculture that are all being hurt by our trade policy.
Lee says the AFL-CIO has specific trade proposals to shake things up and attack the trade deficit.
One is an across-the-board temporary import surcharge. That is a tariff and is actually legal under WTO rules, under World Trade Organization rules. Article 12 provides when countries have a serious and chronic balance of payments problem, they are allowed to use a trade surcharge.
The AFL-CIO also wants the dollar devalued and supports a trade balancing system proposed by billionaire investor Warren Buffett that would match dollar values of exports and imports to restore a healthy trade balance.
Inmates in Texas are not entitled to a federal minimum wage. That was the ruling from the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals on Friday in response to a sex offender's contention that his job in the state prison laundry entitles him to $5.15 per hour. The court said compulsory prison work is not a violation of the Constitution, and the failure of a state to specifically sentence an inmate to hard labor doesn't change the rules. The inmate wanted his wages credited to his inmate trust fund. The 7th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals recently filed a similar ruling stating that individuals are not imprisoned for the purpose of enabling them to earn a living.
B.F. Goodrich has told the United Steelworkers Union that it plans to cut production 30% to 40% at its Opelika, Alabama plant. Cheap overseas labor markets like China are cutting into U.S. tire production for the U.S. market. The USW is in national master contract talks with the tire industry, and B.F. Goodrich is the target company.
After 3 days on the strike lines, more than 200 nurses in Dubuque, Iowa, returned to work this past weekend, still with no contract on the table. The nurses are at odds with Findlay Hospital over work rules, staffing issues, and pay. Represented by the Service Employees International Union, talks are scheduled to start again on Monday. The union says nurses are prepared to return to the picket lines if a compromise can't be reached.
Here's today's economic report. Job creation over the past 3 months has averaged 108,000 a month in the U.S. That's less than what's needed to keep pace with population growth. Paul Craig Roberts, former associate editor of the Wall Street Journal editorial page and former assistant secretary of the Treasury under Reagan, says that jobs being created now are lower paid than the ones being lost to outsourcing. And that, he says, is one reason for the decline in real median household income for working families over the past 5 years. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You be the judge. New FlexoFactor helps promote joint strength, flexibility, lubrication, range of motion, and even the renewal of cartilage from your hands and knees to your hips and elbows. And we'll prove it by letting you try it free. A $30 bottle, free. FlexoFactor is a new all-natural joint support supplement that combines 5 specific joint supporting ingredients in one exclusive formula. FlexoFactor helps cushion, lubricate, and strengthen joints and cartilage over time. It's perfect for seniors, weekend athletes, anyone who depends on healthy joints for an active lifestyle. But don't take our word for it. You be the judge. Call now and try a free bottle of FlexoFactor, a $30 value. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover shipping and handling. FlexoFactor. We know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Call 1-800-364-9974. That's 1-800-364-9974. Limit one bottle per household. Call 1-800-364-9974.
This is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman.
And welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you, 34 minutes past the hour. Our program brought to you by Small Dog Electronics, 1-800-511-MAX, 1-800-511-MACS. Our telephone number, 1-866-440-8466, 440-THOM. Julian in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Hey, Julian, welcome to the program.
Hi, Tom.
Hey,
I forget the name of the author that you were just interviewing.
Steve Lawrence.
Yes.
Like the singer.
Okay. I was just thinking the way of perhaps approaching people like this, I have friends like this myself, we probably all do, is by appealing to their common sense. That, for example, we do need zoning commissions to protect us from someone building a toxic waste dump next to us. I think they probably agree with that.
Well, I tried that. Didn't quite work. Although maybe if we'd made it a 2-hour conversation, I could have brought him around. I don't know.
Yeah, and so probably what his main concern is that they've gone maybe overboard to the point where now he can't even cut the underbrush in his backyard.
Right.
And so just, admitting, okay, perhaps there are excesses, and we have to try to find some way of dealing with that.
Well, and sometimes the excesses are simply the price of democracy. I mean, it's like Churchill said, democracy is a lousy form of government, but it's the best we've come up with so far.
Yeah.
And to paraphrase Churchill, I know he said it more eloquently than that, but words close to that effect. And the reality is that there are going to be times when the government does things that all of us dislike. I mean, I certainly have my list, but at the same time, the fact of the matter is that at least for the moment, more or less, America is a constitutionally limited, democratic republic. And that's a good thing. I mean, the government is us in the United States, and I think that we need to, A, emphasize that, B, help people realize that, because it's the exact antithesis of Ronald Reagan. You know, Ronald Reagan came along, and he started this whole idea that government is a them. It's a dangerous and deadly and evil them, and therefore it has to be hated and it has to be destroyed. In fact, here's Reagan, one of his favorite little jokes, right?
I've always felt the 9 most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
And he must have told that 100 times, and everybody would laugh and it'd get, it was a great punchline. And tell that to the people down in New Orleans, right? I mean,
right.
Tell that to people who've had real misery in their lives. Tell that to the people who've been wiped out by medical expenses because somebody in their family got cancer and they have to declare bankruptcy. I mean, the reality is that government is us in the United States, and we need to strengthen the government is us part of government in the United States. If you want to call that big government, fine. I'll say, I'm a big government liberal if that's the case, if that's the way you want to call it. At the same time, there's toxic elements of government. I think that Dwight Eisenhower, the Republican president Dwight Eisenhower, identified one of the most dangerous, and that's the confluence of large military contractors that didn't exist before World War II. I mean, didn't exist through the first 180 years of the history there, 150 years of the history of this country. Large military contractors and their influence, the revolving door in the Pentagon and in Washington, D.C. This is not only the thing that we need on the one hand to defend this country, but it's also one of the greatest dangers to this country. And it's something that the founders recognized and debated at great length and really never came to any resolution about. The Second Amendment was their try at it, and it wasn't, it was just a half-hearted try. So anyway,
yeah.
You were saying how to respond to Lawrence.
Yeah, well, I think you're right. I think that he may have probably agreed with just about everything you said here. And so since we all have friends like him, I think we need to point out to them that yes, government has a very important role to play in our everyday lives and both on a small scale and a large scale.
Yeah, and we just have to, and sometimes you can't cut your brush. And I'm sorry, that's the price you pay for not having a toxic waste dump next to you.
Right.
You can't get everything you want. This is not a libertarian world where everybody has every little selfish need satisfied. Julian, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Before I go to another call, I just want to share with you. This is the kind of stuff that folks like Steve are listening to. Here's Michael Savage on his broadcast on July 6th.
Liberalism is in essence the HIV virus, and it weakens the defense cells of a nation. What are the defense cells of a nation? Well, the church. They've attacked particularly the Catholic Church for 30 straight years.
Now, first of all, let me just take these one at a time. Is Savage saying that liberalism attacks the church? No, liberalism defends the church. What attacks the church is George W. Bush passing out $1 billion in the year 2000, just before the elections, $1 billion to mostly Christian churches across the United States, although Reverend Moon got a good chunk of it. I'm not sure you could call him a Christian. He says he's here to replace Jesus Christ, so, he claims, well, whatever. In any case, $1 billion. Madison and Jefferson had this debate. Jefferson was afraid that we had, both of them agreed there had to be a wall of separation between church and state, and they agreed on that, and that's why the First Amendment got written the way it did. Jefferson was afraid that we had to have this wall of separation because his concern, his fear was that churchmen would get into government and take it over and turn the United States into a theocracy. Madison was absolutely certain that Americans would never fall for that and would never buy that, that the Americans would remember what happened with the Salem witch trials. They would remember what happened when the Puritans ran Massachusetts throughout most of the 1600s, and they would never want to have anything to do with it. What Madison was afraid of was that if the government started giving money to churches, that the churches would stop paying attention to their primary mission. Now, here's also the thing to keep in mind. Madison was a Christian, and Jefferson rewrote the Christian Bible and took out all of Jesus' miracles. He was a deist. I mean, they were both religious guys or spiritual guys. But, you know, Madison was... So anyhow, Madison's concern was that if the government starts passing out money to the churches, then the churches will become corrupted, and they'll become more interested in getting money in wealth and power than they are in the essential teachings of Jesus, or if there are other religions, the essential teachings of those religions. And that's why the first veto that James Madison issued when he became president in 1809, the first veto that James Madison issued was vetoing a bill that was passed through the Congress to give money to churches in Washington, D.C. to care for the poor. And Madison vetoed it and said, no, you can't give that money to churches to care for the poor. You are going to have to create independent social service agencies to care for the poor that are not affiliated with the churches, or the government is going to have to create its own agency, its own poor, they were called poorhouses back then. Either the government is going to have to own the poorhouse, or somebody who has nothing to do with the church is going to have to own the poorhouse, because if we start giving money to churches, we are going to corrupt the churches. And what I would suggest to you is that both Jefferson's fear and Madison's fear have been realized. And it is the conservatives who are destroying Christianity in the United States, stripping Jesus out of Christianity, attacking Judaism. They haven't been anywhere near as successful there, but it's not as fertile a ground, you know, just looking at the numbers. I mean, you know, Jews in the United States is a small percentage of Americans. Christians a large percentage. So they go after where the money is. They go after all the people are. And so they're going after Christianity. And they are corrupting it. The Michael Savages of the world, the conservatives of the world, are corrupting Christianity badly. And as well as other religions. I mean, look at the damage that they've done to Islam, for example, by, you know, creating a whole, you know, us-them mentality. But anyhow, that's Savage's number one thing about liberalism is the HIV. Let's listen to the whole thing again here.
Liberalism is, in essence, the HIV virus, and it weakens the defense cells of a nation. What are the defense cells of a nation? Well, the church. They've attacked particularly the Catholic Church for 30 straight years.
Now we've disposed of that. He goes on to item number two.
The police, attacked for the last 50 straight years by the ACLU viruses.
Okay, now again, the police attacked by the ACLU viruses. Well, first of all, it was Bill Clinton who put 100,000 cops on the street that George W. Bush cut the funding for. But with regard specifically to the ACLU, what the ACLU says is if you are a police officer and you're doing your job, you have to do your job in a way that is legal. Now, the reason for that, the best reason for that, and this is also the best reason why we shouldn't be using torture to interrogate people and we should be using legal processes to go after the people in Guantanamo, for example, and people who have been captured on the field of battle who may be bad guys, is because you can't successfully prosecute somebody under the American legal system if you haven't conducted yourself legally to begin with. Your evidence is inadmissible. So the ACLU is very much on the side of the police. The ACLU is trying to build and strengthen the institutions of America, including the police. But, you know, Michael Savage and these other cons out there are out there spreading these lies, and guys, you know, guys like Steve, you know, they hear this and they think it's true. Here's Savage's point number three.
And the military attacked for the last 50 years by the Barbara Boxer viruses on our planet.
Yeah, and the military, they say, that liberalism is attacking the military. No, the liberals want us to have a strong military. We need to have a strong defense. And what is happening is the conservatives have been destroying our strong defense by things like the Star Wars boondoggle, like by sending people into combat without appropriate body armor, by occupying a nation and conducting a 3-year-long, totally screwed up, totally scrambled, totally done upside down, backwards, inside out, wrong occupation of a country with an army. Armies are not occupying forces. I mean, I'm telling you, armies are not occupying force. My father was in the occupation of Japan after World War II. And, you know, I've heard a lot of stories about what it was like there. Truman got it right. Help rebuild the civil institutions within Germany and Japan. Give them the money. We'll give you some money. We'll loan you some money. The Marshall Plan. And we'll help you rebuild your country. But our army isn't going to do it. And that's why my dad didn't get shot at in the occupation forces in Japan. In fact, nobody did. Not a single American died as a result of hostile fire in the occupation of Germany or Japan after World War II. Not one. And probably not more than a half a dozen Germans or Japanese were killed or assaulted. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but I know it was a handful of people who even tried to. You know, why? Because we had successful occupations. But the conservatives now that have taken over this country, they're destroying our army. They're destroying the morale. They've got skinheads infiltrating the army. They're ripping it apart. And yet you've got guys like Savage going out with the big lie theory, and people like Steve believe in it. It's tragic.
This is Vivionik Raskin. I'm the president and founder of the Organic Wine Company. What happened when you, Thomas, gave us a plug, the phone started ringing. The first person said, whatever it is that you're selling, I want to buy it. And for the next few hours, the phone rang nonstop. The people who listen to your program are what they call in the business my target audience, people who are conscious and responsible and try to do the right thing and try to think for themselves. I would encourage anyone to advertise on the Thomas Hartmann Show absolutely without question, whether that be on the national level or the local level, and you will absolutely get results. The way you can learn more about our imported organically grown wines from France is by calling us. The phone number is 1-888-ECO-WINE, or you can visit our site at www.ecowine.com.
Scientists work to clarify the link between intense hurricanes and warm ocean water. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Several scientific studies in the past 2 years linked the increasing strength of hurricanes to the rising temperature of the oceans. Researchers at the Georgia Institute of Technology have done a study that backs up that explanation. Judith Curry is an atmospheric scientist at Georgia Tech. She and her colleagues scrutinized some weather conditions that accompanied hurricanes going back to 1970. Experts categorize the intensity of hurricanes on a scale of 1 to 5, and Curry says storms at the top end of the scale are becoming more numerous.
There is a greater number of intense hurricanes. We found a doubling of Category 4 and 5 hurricanes since 1970.
Curry says the intensity of hurricanes can change from storm to storm or season to season, but these changes in intensity are happening on a global scale over a period of decades. She says they seem connected to the rising temperature of the ocean surface. As the Earth grows warmer, the oceans get warmer, and more water evaporates and condenses in the atmosphere. That process releases heat, and that energy fuels the hurricanes. Curry says hurricanes form in warm regions, and even a small increase in ocean temperature can make a noticeable difference.
Well, when the temperatures are already high, you know, up around 85, 90 degrees, then one more degree can actually make quite a big difference in terms of how much water is evaporated from the oceans and how much additional fuel you provide that storm.
Curry's studies were published in the journal Science this past March and last September. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Sears has the new air conditioning system you've been looking for. Keep cool this summer with a new Carrier or Kenmore system from a name you can trust. With unbeatable pricing, year-round maintenance and repair, plus plus our satisfaction guarantee. It's time you called Sears at 1-800-269-2300 for a free in-home consultation. Ask about our special financing terms. A new, more efficient cooling system can keep your family comfortable all summer long and may help you save money on high energy costs. You and your family can count on Sears for the quality materials and installation you've come to expect for over 100 years. Call now at 1-800-269-2300. Offer ends August 26, 06. Subject to applicant credit worthiness. Installation provided by Sears Authorized Licensed Contractors. Licensee information available upon request. Energy efficiency may vary depending upon your home and climate. Keep cool with the new air conditioning system from Sears. Call now at 1-800-269-2300. That's 1-800-269-2300.
Fearlessly exploring the truth of the day, here's Tom Hartman.
Oh man, look at my life, 24 and there's so much more. Live alone in a paradise that makes me think of two. Love lost, such a cost, give me things that don't get lost. Like a coin that won't get tossed.
And welcome back, my friends. Truth and Common Sense in Broadcasting. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program, coming up on 9 minutes before the hour. Karl Rove booed and heckled today as he was speaking at the National Council of La Raza's annual conference. I'm just reading the story. Rove, who shared his own family story of Norwegian immigrants, and I read that and cringed. Oh, my goodness. Also told the crowd, I say that because my father's father came here from Norway in 1917, and my father's mother was also Norwegian. My mother's family came here in the 1600s, but my father, I remember my grandparents, my grandfather's, you know, thick Norwegian accent. Anyhow, Rove told the crowd, he drew scattered boos when he highlighted Bush's recent approval for $1.9 billion in funding for more border security and was disrupted twice by hecklers who unfurled anti-war and anti-Bush banners. Hey, good on you. Anyhow, back to our phone lines, 1-866-440-8466, our telephone number, Sean in Indianapolis, Indiana. Hey, Sean.
Hey, Tom. Hey, you know, I've come up with a way, and I've been successful in talking to conservative people and finding out that you know, that the people, conservative and liberal in this country, not the big corporate media people and not any of those people, but just the general meat and potatoes people in this country have very, very, very little difference. And when you talk to conservatives that listen to a lot of this big corporate conservative media, you got to start out finding common ground to these people.
Yeah, and in fact, Sean, the fact that there is not a large amount of difference, that's why I talk about this program as being the vast radical middle conspiracy. There's not, you know, the vast majority of Americans want strong Social Security. They want a clean environment. They want good social, you know, social safety net programs like unemployment insurance. They want a decent minimum wage. They want workplace protection. They want their food supply to be safe and domestic. They want to have good manufacturing jobs in the United States. That's the vast majority of Americans. And because of that, the conservatives who are opposed to all of those things, the conservative elite, the corporate elite, they have to figure out ways to cleave us from each other, to split us apart.
That's right.
So they'll take these small issues like gay marriage or whether the Ten Commandments should be on display in a courtroom that will mobilize just enough people to tip an election and flog those issues to death.
You know, divide and conquer, you know, that's their main thing.
Yep. Yep, absolutely.
And you know what? I mean, and just starting out a conversation, because, you know, there are several people that I would go back and forth with on the radio, but when we talk to each other face, you know, on the telephone together without any, you know, media, you know,
association
or anything. Yeah. You know, we really get along good, and we find out that we really have a lot in common, and when it comes down to it, you know, Americans help Americans, and that's what makes this country so great.
There you go, Sean. We're all in this together.
So if you're going to connect with conservatives and people that disagree with you, you've got to start out finding common ground. Otherwise, the rest of the conversation is going to go to hell.
Yep, well said. Sean, okay. Thanks a lot for the call. Good to hear from you. I appreciate it. Richard in Seattle, Washington. Hey, Richard.
Thank you. Coming from a libertarian perspective, I was reading recently about an instance where the Constitutional Convention was occurring in Philadelphia, and Thomas Paine was asked why he hadn't attended, and he responded, "I smelled a rat in Philadelphia."
Mm-hmm.
And Jefferson was opposed to Madison or Hamilton regarding a central government.
Hamilton. Jefferson and Hamilton were political enemies. Madison,
right.
Jefferson was Madison's mentor. And Paine was not involved in the Constitutional Convention because he wasn't invited. Thomas Paine, and I encourage you to read Harvey Kay's biography of Thomas Paine, by the way. It's absolutely brilliant, and it's one of the best books on American history that I've ever read in my entire life.
And I like to think that Jefferson was a people advocate, and
But he was also the U.S. envoy to France when the Constitutional Convention was being held. So he was in Paris in the summer of 1787.
So we have to divide ourselves into people advocates and government advocates.
No,
and
we don't.
We don't. We do.
No,
we do,
libertarians would view it that way, and I understand. But if you read Madison's notes from the Constitutional Convention, or read the Federalist Papers that came out of it, which were written by Madison and Hamilton, who ultimately were political enemies, they were on opposite sides of a lot of issues.
That's right.
And yet they wrote together the Federalist Papers. Now, and you know, with the hindsight of history, we know who wrote which one, or we can pretty much infer in almost all cases who wrote
one. The libertarians have been so marginalized over the years that there is only one individual in Congress right now, and that's Ron Paul. So I look forward to your interview with him.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting one. I have a lot of respect for Ron Paul, although Ron Paul describes himself as a Republican, not as a libertarian.
Yeah, that's true, and that's unfortunate. But
because you know, he acknowledges that government plays a role in things. He's part of government.
But he is anti the Republican because he speaks against Bush and his cronies day after day.
Yeah, well, he does, in fact, and we will get into that.
What do you think about Truman's nationalizing of the steel industry in the 40s? Is that people advocacy, or?
I think that was what was necessary in order to win World War II, wasn't it?
I would say no.
My recollection is that that's what it had all. Frankly, Richard, I don't know enough about it to be able to speak intelligently to it. Richard, but I appreciate your call. Ron Paul is going to be with us on the 20th at 1 p.m., by the way, 1 p.m. Eastern Time. It's 57 minutes past the hour. It's the Tom Hartman radio program. We'll be back with your calls and more. In fact, Linda Jacobs actually is going to be with us next, the author of Yellowstone Erupts. Is America facing a super volcano? In our Everything You Know Is Wrong segment. We'll be right back.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Summer's here, and that means lots of disgusting little ants marching through your yard and into your home. Used to be almost impossible to get rid of them, but not anymore. Now there's Grant's Ant Stakes, and they're guaranteed to work. Grant's Ant Stakes are different. They contain a unique baiting system that ants simply can't resist. They eat the bait, they share it with the rest of the colony, and they all die. Total colony elimination. Grant's kills ants. Guaranteed. Look for Grant's at your favorite stores, and take control.
It's a never-ending necessity for more and more office space.
For retail leases, I hand you, it's almost a book.
50 pages of legalese.
I am not going to be able to do this.
Calling the realtor should be the first thing you do.
When he got here, I could see he was wearing that realtor pin.
That's the guy to talk to.
Buying or leasing a commercial property? Let someone with expertise and experience be your partner. Ask your agent if they're a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors.
Really helped me take my business where I wanted it to go.
A message from your local, state, and national realtor associations.
Hey, that's a great idea. You could really cash in.
I hope. I've been working on it for years.
Have you got a patent on it?
Not yet. I don't know what to do. I don't know what I need.
Just call Inventec. They can help you protect and market your idea. They've been doing it for inventors for over 10 years. It's easy.
Inventec? That's exactly what I need.
Then call 1-800-319-1818.
Slow down.
That's 1-800-319-1818. And they'll even send you a free inventor's kit and DVD with your confidential submission.
How do you know this?
I called them myself. I have a really good idea of my own, and thanks to Inventech, no one's going to cash in but me. They're going to help me get my invention off the drawing board and into the marketplace.
I really need Inventech. What's that number again?
1-800-319-1818.
One more time?
Call 1-800-319-1818. That's 1-800-319-1818.
Air America Radio News, I'm Christabel Nsiabwadi. In this hour, the AP reports that China and Russia have introduced a United Nations resolution that criticizes North Korea's missile tests, but drops language from a rival proposal that could have led to military action. The draft proposal is said to urge all UN member countries to be vigilant about making sure North Korea is prevented from getting materials and technology that could advance its missile program. As the U.S. prepares to extradite three British bankers for their alleged complicity in fraud related to Enron, police announced today that the body of Neil Kulbeck, one of their former colleagues, was discovered last night, apparently the result of a suicide. Kulbeck worked as a finance director for the British bank NatWest, where the three men also worked, and allegedly participated in a scheme to help hide the dire state of Enron's finances from investors. Unconfirmed reports suggest that Kulbeck was interviewed at one time by the FBI as a possible witness. The Bush administration is considering forcing American banks to turn over all records of all their customers' international fund transfers, even those lacking any potential ties to terrorism, according to remarks made yesterday by an official with the Treasury Department. The department has been considering such an initiative for over a year, and though the possibility has already been publicly raised, yesterday's comments indicated that a final decision on the proposal is expected in the next few weeks. The White House sent chief strategist Karl Rove to Los Angeles to pitch President Bush's immigration platform to the National Council of La Raza, one of the nation's largest Latino civil rights organizations, yesterday. Rove drew some applause by stressing the importance of immigrants to the nation's workforce, but the applause quickly turned into boos when he brought up the president's recent decision to deploy National Guardsmen to help patrol the Mexican border. Rove was also interrupted twice by hecklers carrying banners protesting both the president's policies and the war in Iraq. And gunmen seized 24 Iraqis from a bus stop in a town northeast of Baghdad today, executing 20 passengers. An Iraqi general said that the victims are believed to be Shiite Muslims separated from Sunnis at the scene of the abduction. You're listening to Air America Radio News on the Air America Radio Network. My name is Christabel Nsiabwadi.
News sponsored in part by Mahatma and Carolina Rice. Only the finest jasmine rice is good enough to become Mahatma or Carolina jasmine rice. It's a gourmet treat you'll love. Try Mahatma or Carolina jasmine rice tonight.
Support our troops. We hear it practically every day. It's something we all agree on. Whenever and wherever the men and women of our armed forces are called, we send our support with them. It's something we all do. And supporting the USO is how it's done. The USO receives no government funding and depends entirely on the generosity of the American people. To find out more, call us at 888-USO-5566 or visit our website at uso.org.
We Icelanders live longer than you Americans and have the world's lowest rate of heart disease, stroke, and high blood pressure. What's our secret? It's omega-3 fish oil from the clean, cold waters of Iceland. And now our powerful omega-3s are available in America. Omega-3s that have twice the power of most omega-3s, and you can get a bottle of it from Iceland Health for free.
As a result of taking Iceland Health, my blood pressure has dropped tremendously.
I feel more flexible, and I feel like my energy is up.
Besides a healthier heart, our omega-3s can improve memory and energy and have powerful benefits for skin and joints. Find out how to get a free bottle and feel the difference for yourself. Call 1-800-406-3375.
Iceland Health Omega-3 made me feel 100% better.
The secret to a healthier heart is out. Get your free bottle of Omega-3 by calling 1-800-406-3375. Call 1-800-406-3375.
Are you working 8-hour days, fighting traffic and long commutes? How would you like to work from home and never have to worry about finances again?
Now you can. Cindy is a mother of three beautiful kids and used to clean houses for a living to make ends meet. She found out about HomeBiz6.com. Her first month full-time, she earned $2,500. Her income increased about $1,000 per month and now earns $16,000 a month. Tori says, "Before I started my own business, I worked 10-hour days in a high-pressure job. I wore out my car commuting back and forth to work. Now I make over $100,000 a year in my pajamas." Go to HomeBiz6.com. Order a free, no-obligation work-from-home training package. Shipping not included. That's HomeBiz6.com. Tracy, a restaurant manager who came home to be a full-time mom, made $1,000 her first month and was earning $5,000 a month just 6 months in the business. Get free information now. Log on to HomeBiz6.com. That's HomeBiz, the number 6.com.
If you run a retail business of any kind, a restaurant, a bar, a carpet store, even a tanning salon, just to name a few, and you need money to grow or run your business, let me explain how a new idea from a company called AmeriMerchant can help you get the money you need. When your customers spend money in your store, many of them use Visa and MasterCard, right? Well, what AmeriMerchant does is advance you money against those sales. For example, if your store does $25,000 in Visa or MasterCard sales, we'll advance you a portion of those monthly sales. You can use the money for any reason or purpose, but you must have a minimum of $5,000 a month in combined Visa or MasterCard sales to qualify. There are no closing costs. You can have the money in as little as 7 days, and we approve 90% of all qualified applicants, so call right now. 800-430-9571. 800-430-9571. 800-430-9571.
ReadLindaJacobs.com, as well as your local bookstore. Thanks, Linda.
Thank you.
16 minutes past the hour.
Looking for a reason to try online dating? Match.com has 15 million of them, with our 15 million members. And now, here's one more.
You do want to make a good first impression. You do want to step up and put your best foot forward.
Dr. Phil is now on Match.com. His insights inspire millions every day and help them find love. Now with our free starter kit, you can see if we're right for you. Visit Match.com, the number one site for love.
Okay. The question before the court is this. Who exactly eliminated the middleman? All right, we'll come clean. GEICO is guilty as charged. Yes, we did away with him, and we'd do it again. After all, when GEICO gives you the same great service as the other guys and could save you hundreds on your car insurance, getting rid of the middleman isn't really a crime. It's more of a public service.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
America's working poor recently suffered another body blow in the Congress. But you probably missed the news since it barely made a blip on the media establishment's radar. The blow came in the Senate, which voted down a modest increase in our nation's minimum wage. This is front page news to millions of families that are trying to survive on jobs that had they deigned to look into the story, here are a few important facts they would have found. There are 7.3 million Americans presently working for minimum wage. Another 8.2 million of us are paid only a dollar or less above the minimum. 72% of minimum wage workers are adults. The average worker brings home more than half of the family's weekly income. A third bring home 100% of their family's earnings. 60% of these workers are women. 760,000 are single moms. $5.15 an hour is a gross pay of $10,500 a year for full-time work, poverty pay. The last increase in the minimum wage has been entirely eroded by inflation. The purchasing power of $5.15 today is the equivalent of $4.23 in 1997, the year the wage was raised from 4.25 an hour. This is Jim Hightower saying, this is not merely an economic story, but a deeply moral issue, especially at a time when workers have greatly increased productivity and helped generate historic levels of growth and profits. If the media chieftains wonder why they're losing readers and viewers, they might note that they callously ignore news of real importance to ordinary folks.
Ever notice how people differ on how America's doing? On Wall Street, they say things are going great. Big oil's profits are through the roof. CEOs are raking in millions. And big corporations love paying foreigners those dirt cheap wages. Different story for the rest of us. Gas prices are murder. Millions of jobs are being exported. And now they're saying our kids will have a lower standard of living. Something's got to change. Something already has, and it's this. The people who've always fought to give the rest of us a stronger voice are losing their clout. America's unions. It hasn't happened by accident. The laws that protect a worker's right to choose a union are weaker than ever, and Wall Street wants to keep it that way. So America's got a choice. We can let Wall Street keep telling us how things work, or we can restore a worker's freedom to choose a union without fear of being fired, the way democracy's supposed to work. Paid for by the United Steelworkers on the World Wide Web at usw.org.
Bringing democracy to the United States of America, here's Tom Hartman.
A And welcome back, my friends. Helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense from the radical middle. Tom Hartman here with you. Our program now giving you a new way to sound off about an issue or topic of the day. It's the comment line. Just pick up the phone and call 503-323-6620. Give us your take in 30 seconds or less, because we want to hear from you. 503-323-6620. Remember, your thoughts and opinions may just make it on the air. So make it count. 503-323-6620. Another public service from the Tom Hartman radio program. 21 minutes past the hour. Let's find out, just take a quick look here at what's going on with the occupation of Iraq.
I want to know who the man in the shadows are. I want to hear somebody asking them why. They can be counted on to tell us who our enemies are. But they're never the ones to fight or to die. And they're alive.
Security developments in Iraq as of Wednesday. This is from Reuters, compiled from various wire services. Dateline Baghdad. A suicide bomber walked into a restaurant in eastern Baghdad on Wednesday and blew himself up, killing 7 people and wounding 20. Dateline Tikrit. A bomb exploded near a private clinic owned by the wife of the governor of Salahuddin, killing her and wounding 2 of her aides on Tuesday in Tikrit. In Baghdad, 3 civilians, including a child, were wounded when a roadside bomb went off near a police patrol. In Mogadishu, gunmen abducted 12 drivers from a bus station in that town, 100 kilometers northeast of Baghdad.
You've been hearing about Hypemax, but you still haven't ordered? Hypemax is a patented blend of vitamins, herbs, and amino acids available now without a prescription. Designed for 12 to 25-year-olds, Hypemax is a supplement that provides extra nutrients during those critical growth.
So are you the type that has a CD player or a six-disc changer in your car? Heck with that. Don't limit yourself. Enjoy your entire CD collection anytime, all smushed into a tiny little iPod. Your iPod is your personal portable jukebox. Plug your iPod into your car stereo or home stereo and take it with you when you travel. No matter where you go, your music collection goes with you. iPods are easy to use and easy to import your music from your CD collection. Talk to us about this if you need help. iPod is your personal portable jukebox. Oh, it's a beautiful thing enjoying today's technologies. This is Dawn from Small Dog Electronics, New England's largest Apple specialist. Come see us in our Small Dog showroom in Waitsfield, Vermont, or on the web at smalldog.com. Small Dog, where you'll find high technology for low prices.
Why do I like working for Verizon Wireless? I'm a real life. Can you hear me now? Test man. As reliable as our network is, there's always room for improvement. And that's my job. Find it and improve it. But it's more than just phones. It's opportunity. I've continually experienced career advancement and personal growth. Here, you're not just an employee. You're part of a proud family. This is an excellent place to be. I'm Melvin Turner, System Performance Engineer. Our people, our network, Verizon Wireless. We never stop working for you.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham.
And I'm Jesse Russell.
The AFL-CIO and the U.S. Business and Industry Council are co-hosting a conference on the U.S. trade crisis today in Washington, D.C. AFL-CIO Policy Director Thea Lee says a foreign trade deficit of more than $720 billion a year is unsustainable.
This isn't just labor, but it's also business and agriculture that are all being hurt by our trade policies.
Lee says the AFL-CIO has specific trade proposals to shake things up and attack the trade deficit.
One is an across-the-board temporary import surcharge. That is a tariff and is actually legal under WTO rules, under World Trade Organization rules. Article 12 provides when countries have a serious and chronic balance of payments problem, they are allowed to use a trade surcharge.
The AFL-CIO also wants the dollar devalued and supports a trade balancing system proposed by billionaire investor Warren Buffett that would match dollar values of exports and imports to restore a healthy trade balance.
Inmates in Texas are not entitled to a federal minimum wage. That was the ruling from the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals on Friday in response to a sex offender's contention that his job in the state prison laundry entitles him to $5.15 per hour. The court said compulsory prison work is not a violation of the Constitution, and the failure of a state to specifically sentence an inmate to hard labor doesn't change the rules. The inmate wanted his wages credited to his inmate trust fund. The 7th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals recently filed a similar ruling stating that individuals are not imprisoned for the purpose of enabling them to earn a living.
B.F. Goodrich has told the United Steelworkers Union that it plans to cut production 30% to 40% in its Opelika, Alabama plant. Cheap overseas labor markets like China are cutting into U.S. tire production for the U.S. market. The USW is in national master contract talks with the tire industry, and B.F. Goodrich is the target company.
After 3 days on the strike lines, more than 200 nurses in Dubuque, Iowa, returned to work this past weekend, still with no contract on the table. The nurses are at odds with Findlay Hospital over work rules, staffing issues, and pay. Represented by the Service Employees International Union, talks are scheduled to start again on Monday. The union says nurses are prepared to return to the picket lines if a compromise can't be reached.
Here's today's economic report. Job creation over the past 3 months has averaged 108,000 a month in the U.S., That's less than what's needed to keep pace with population growth. Paul Craig Roberts, former associate editor of the Wall Street Journal editorial page and former assistant secretary of the Treasury under Reagan, says that jobs being created now are lower paid than the ones being lost to outsourcing. And that, he says, is one reason for the decline in real median household income for working families over the past 5 years. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
When you struggle with credit card bills every month, you're not just in debt. Debt is all around you.
I see people every day that are on the brink. They're going to go over the edge, and at the bottom is bankruptcy, and we pull them back.
The people who provide Care One Credit Counseling Services know how to help you get out of debt and get on with your life. So call now, 800-297-3019. That's 800-297-3019. We can help you stop the collection calls, pay off your debt sooner, and save up to 57% every month.
You do get to consolidate your payments. You only have to worry about making one payment a month instead of making three or four or five.
Call for licensing details. Get out of debt and get on with your life. Gather up your bills and talk to the people who can help, to the people who care. Call Care One Credit Counseling now. 800-297-3019. 800-297-3019. That's 800-297-3019.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
My old man, he had oil, so I'd never have to toil.
With a knick-knack, pop-a-rack, all your money spent.
I'm a wartime president.
He's a wartime president.
My old man made a call. I didn't go to NAM at all.
With a knick-knack, pop-a-rack, all your money spent.
I'm a wartime president.
And welcome back. Truth in Broadcasting, it's the Tom Hartman Radio Program, 34 minutes past the hour. ThinkProgress.org reporting. Last night, Bill O'Reilly and radio host Laura Ingraham tag-teamed to slam the New York Times for publishing a picture of Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld's vacation home. O'Reilly repeatedly called the publication of the picture awful. What he didn't mention is that the pictures were taken with Rumsfeld's permission. Sometimes these cons are just like so. It actually becomes comical. Mike, by the way, in Seattle, sends me a note. He says, "I think that we were talking before when I was talking with Steve Lawrence, the conservative or whatever, the independent, who has written a book about how liberals are creating a police state in America." Because, and then we had the clip from Michael Savage where he says the ACLU is trying to destroy the police in America. And I pointed out that, no, the ACLU is doing the police a big favor by keeping them on the straight and narrow, because it makes it much more effective to prosecute crimes if the police are actually doing things legally. Mike adds, "I think there's an even more important effect of the ACLU on the police." He says, "While your point that the police cannot successfully prosecute criminals in our system when there's misconduct is important, it is even more important that the police are trusted by the people they serve." He says, "Look at L.A. for an example. By keeping the police by and large on the straight and narrow, the ACLU actually makes them stronger by increasing our ability to trust them." Well said, Mike. Thanks a lot for sharing that with us. 1-866-440-8466, our telephone number. We are going to get to this trade deficit with China. In fact, Will in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, that's on your mind. Hey, Will.
Tom, how are you, buddy?
I'm great, but I'll get better.
Get better. I'm sorry I blew it. I should have never said that.
Why is that?
You always come back with that, and I'll get better. It's such a useless phrase sometimes.
Oh, how are you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's become the the hello. That's fine.
It's a hello.
No problem.
Know.
No need to apologize.
Hey, Tom.
You set me up for my favorite line, so.
Yes. Well, no. At least. least I was a good straight man for you.
There you go. That's not what you called for, though.
Yeah. I love your show, by the way, buddy.
Thank you.
And I even called the manager, the people who own the station here. It's WPTT in Pittsburgh.
Yep. And a fine radio station.
Yes, it is. I'll tell you what. I told him straight out, I said, I'll tell you what, I called him up again today, I called him last week, I said, I want to thank you for putting Tom Hartman on.
Well,
I mean it, I learned so much from you, Tom.
I appreciate that, but that's not what you called about. Let's get to the topics here.
First with China, Tuesday at the Post, Pittsburgh Post, $14.5 billion was for the trade deficit. For June of last month,
right.
With communist China.
Right, and this is in today's Wall Street Journal. The headline, China's trade surplus swelled to a record $14.5 billion in June, and China's trade surplus with the world for that month was $81.3 billion. It was 23% higher than a year earlier. So they're not just selling more to us, they're selling more to the entire world. We jump-started them, but they're doing it for the whole world. And their trade surplus stands at $61.45 billion for the first half of the year, a 55% increase from the same point in 2005.
Hey, Hartman.
Yes, sir.
Listen, last year I tried to keep, there's a paper called the Trib, the Pittsburgh Trib.
Yeah.
They published the figures last year, and last year alone, America was running close to $600 billion trade deficit with China. Is it about up to $1 trillion? Are we pushing $1 trillion with these people?
In trade deficit? No. Our total trade deficit?
Yes.
I think it's in the neighborhood of 800 and change, but I don't
have it
in front of me.
You know, remember
it's substantial.
Senator Dirksen said,
say that again?
A billion here and a billion there, and all of a sudden we're going to be talking about some serious money?
Yeah, Everett Dirksen. Yeah.
Everett Dirksen. Tom, about Prescott Bush.
Yeah.
And by the way, would you please mention, I will find it. Thomas Paine is my hero. He was always my hero. I lost all my books, Tom. I lost them all through a flood.
Sorry to hear that.
I 200 of them, Tom.
Wow.
I mean, all kinds of reference books, and they're my companions, you know?
Yeah.
They've always been ever since I was a child. But Thomas Paine is the most neglected patriot in American history. Am I not correct?
You're right. And you know who brought him back into the American mainstream? Thomas Edison. Thomas Edison. In the 1920s, Thomas Edison wrote a series of pamphlets and articles about Thomas Paine. And as a result of Thomas Edison's tireless efforts, and you can read about this, by the way, if you go over to buzzflash.com and link to my name, and they've got a list of the book reviews that I've written, and I've written two book reviews of Thomas Paine books, and I have extensive quotes from Thomas Edison in one of them. Edison brought Thomas Paine back from obscurity in the United
States. Thank God.
Yeah.
Thank God. By the way, I truly admire your ethics, Tom. Your ethics, and you always, always back it up with honest facts. And I love the, I'll tell you what I really enjoy. When you play audio where there's no way to dispute what this person said.
Yeah.
And I just...
Well, I appreciate it, and I like it that you like the show, but
thanks a lot
for the call. I appreciate it. There's a certain point, I think, where all our listeners' eyes started crossing. It's Howard in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Hey, Howard, what's on your mind today?
Okay. I want to talk about these so-called Christian conservatives, and they find it convenient to look at scripture that pleases them. But there's some you can't ignore. All you know, you just can't say, "Well, I'll take this scripture that I like and disregard another scripture." Some of the scripture that I'm referring to was Moses brought the law to his people off the mountain. Of course, we know about the Ten Commandments, but some of the laws were that you were required to leave 10% of your food in the field, so the homeless and the poor would have somewhere to go to find something to eat. And then another very, very important rule was the year of the Jubilee. I believe it was every 50 years.
Right. Actually, there were two cycles of Jubilee. Every seventh year, you had to let your fields lay fallow. And then every seventh year, the year following that, which would be every 49th year plus one, so it's the 50th year, the entire society reset itself. All wealth was redistributed, all wealth was equalized, and everybody started out from scratch all over again.
Well,
in fact, Herman, I'm forgetting his last name, a guy who was a World Bank economist, wrote an incredible book. I reference it in one of the chapters in Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, in which he's suggesting that we should reinstitute the Jubilee.
Oh, movement. I've got to write this down.
I wrote Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight in 1996, and that's when I read the guy's book, and that was 10 years ago, and I can't remember his name now 10 years later. I accept that his first name was Herman, but my guess is if you Google Jubilee and Herman, you'll come up with it, or, you know, give me a call tomorrow and I'll have it for you. Herman Daly. That's right.
Herman Daly,
yeah.
Daly, D-A-L-E-Y?
I think it's D-A-L-Y.
D-A-L-Y.
Yeah, yeah. David. David Poole here is Googling this stuff as we speak.
Okay, Tom.
Good on you, David. Okay.
I'd love to listen to you also.
Thanks a lot, Howard. I appreciate the call, and thanks for listening to us there on WPTT in Pittsburgh. Back to China's trade surplus. This is the result. China's trade surplus, China's exploding and growing economy, is that the problem with it? It is the result not of China internally saying, okay, we're going to get our act together, we're going to build our markets, we're going to grow our economy, we're going to sell to ourselves, which was in large part how the American economy grew. You know, the industrialization of America, the moving out west, all that kind of stuff. And yes, we can tell the Howard Zinn stories of, you know, that was done on the backs of slaves and Native Americans. Yes, that's true. And at the same time, America's industry, or even beyond that, frankly, I would say, America's industry came about in large part, although, yes, we did have international trade policies that weren't the very best in the world, and we were exploiting a lot of the world for raw materials. And, yes, I acknowledge all that. And nonetheless, most of what we did was we built things here for us. And, you know, if China was doing that, and we should be encouraging them, that'd be a fine thing. But what China basically has done is they've said, okay, we're going to become the slave labor camp or the cheap labor camp for the rest of the world. And the cons in the United States, particularly Reagan, Bush, Clinton, and Bush, they were all there raising their hands going, hey, you know, put me in line. And so, you know, most favored nation status. I mean, well, actually, Nixon started the whole thing. And the result of this, well, here, quoting from the Wall Street Journal today, China's large trade surpluses with the U.S. and Europe arise mostly because major multinational companies make their products in China rather than in their home countries, a practice that is unlikely to change soon. And in fact, you know, about a third of all international trade, and I don't have the specific numbers for China, I'm not even sure anybody has published them, but about a third of all international trade is not trade between companies or between countries. It is one company building a factory in another country and then shipping its own product to itself. And we see this, you know, growing in China. It's just the politics of greed, as Molly Ivins talks about. And she has a new piece out, and it's over at commondreams.org. I want to share some of the stats from her piece with you right after the break here. It's 45 minutes past the hour. The pill that will help you escape the matrix.
Charlie Pickett here for Amdro. Now, I don't know anybody that likes ants. That's why you need to know about Amdro Ant Block. Ant Block keeps ants out of your house, and it wipes them out where they live, outside. Just sprinkle Amdro Ant Block around the foundation of your home. You see, Ant Block's a bait. Ants take it back to the colony where they share it and die, even the queen. Amdro Ant Block. Stop them on the outside before they come inside.
On TNT, from executive producer Jerry Bruckheimer, Without a Trace, one of television's most watched shows.
Why don't you tell us what really happened?
And now, find out why. With four back-to-back episodes every Wednesday night, join the search at 7, 8, 9, and 10.
Drop the gun!
It's over. Without a Trace. Four back-to-back episodes tonight at 7, 6 Central on TNT.
Scientists work to clarify the link between intense hurricanes and warm ocean water. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Several scientific studies in the past 2 years linked the increasing strength of hurricanes to the rising temperature of the oceans. Researchers at the Georgia Institute of Technology have done a study that backs up that explanation. Judith Curry is an atmospheric scientist at Georgia Tech. She and her colleagues scrutinized some weather conditions that accompanied hurricanes going back to 1970. Experts categorize the intensity of hurricanes on a scale of 1 to 5, and Curry says storms at the top end of the scale are becoming more numerous.
There is a greater number of intense hurricanes. We found a doubling of Category 4 and 5 hurricanes since 1970.
Curry says the intensity of hurricanes can change from storm to storm or season to season, but these changes in intensity are happening on a global scale over a period of decades. She says they seem connected to the rising temperature of the ocean surface. As the Earth grows warmer, the oceans get warmer, and more water evaporates and condenses in the atmosphere. That process releases heat, and that energy fuels the hurricanes. Curry says hurricanes form in warm regions, and even a small increase in ocean temperature can make a noticeable difference.
Well, when the temperatures are already high, you know, up around 85, 90 degrees, then one more degree can actually make quite a big difference in terms of how much water is evaporated from the oceans and how much additional fuel you provide that storm.
Curry's studies were published in the journal Science this past March and last September. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Attention! If you do not have health insurance, have limited health insurance, or are uninsurable and are worried about the cost of health care, this announcement is for you. For less than $2 a day, your entire family can save thousands of dollars on all medical expenses thanks to Synergy Health. With more than 600,000 providers around the country, Synergy Health can save you up to 60% on doctors, hospitals, hearing, vision, prescriptions, and even dental care. Plus, you'll get great savings on chiropractic, alternate medicine, and much more. And here's the best part. Synergy Health offers guaranteed acceptance to everyone, no matter what your health history or income, at the same low price. Call our 800 number and learn how Synergy Health is helping families like yours for less than $2 a day. There is no obligation, and the information is free.
Call 1-800-933-2596 for free information. That's 1-800-933-2596. There's absolutely no obligation.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
In a building of gold with riches untold lived the families in which the country was founded. And the merchants of Star with their vain velvet smiles were there, for they also were hounded. And the soft middle class crowded into the last, for the building was fully surrounded. And the noise outside was the ringing of revolution.
And welcome back, my friends. Coming up on 9 minutes before the hour, Tom Hartman here with you. You are smack dab in the middle of the vast radical middle conspiracy. Take no imitations. The Concord Coalition. The Concord Coalition, I'm not sure I'd say nonpartisan. You could say bipartisan. I mean, there are some very conservative Republicans in this thing and some very progressive Democrats who have gotten together and produced the Concord Coalition. They are responding to George Bush running around going, hey, woo-hoo, look at this, woo-woo-woo, we're going to cut the deficit. Well, Bush isn't actually really cutting the deficit. He's cutting his projection of the deficit. And what's particularly interesting about it is, as Edmund Andrews pointed out in the Wall Street Journal a day or so ago, he says, an unexpectedly steep rise in tax revenues from corporations and the wealthy is driving down the projected budget deficit this year. Why? Well, because corporations and the wealthy are suddenly making more money. When you get Bush out there talking about, hey, the economy is going great, you get the commentators on TV, oh, we got a strong economy. Chris Matthews and folks like him saying, well, you know, I don't understand why the average American's upset. The economy's doing great. Well, you know, if you're a TV talking head and you're making $750,000 a year, or you're a person who, you know, makes their living sitting on their butt around the pool waiting for the dividend check to arrive in the mail, the economy is looking pretty good. The wealthy are getting wealthier in the United States. I mean, there's just no denying it. There's no way, it's real. It's a very real thing, a very real, what would you call it? Phenomena, I suppose. But for the average American, things are really not quite like that at all. The New York Times reports the main reason is a big spike in corporate tax receipts, which have nearly tripled since 2003. Now, why would that be? They don't go into that in the article here, but I'll tell you. Last year, forgiveness, the amnesty, or whatever they called it, where they said if a corporation brings back money from the profits that they made overseas, they can bring it back and only pay 5% tax on it rather than the normal 35% corporate tax rate. And so billions of dollars were brought back into the United States by corporations at very, very low tax rates. Well, the following year, all that money coming back into the United States showed up in forms, as the consequence of investment and produced profits. A lot of it got converted to profits. And so, you've got a tripling in profits and corporate profits from 2003. And then they go on to say, as well as what appears to be a big increase in individual taxes on stock market profits and executive bonuses. So you've got more people who are making hundreds of millions of dollars and billions of dollars, making a few extra million dollars or a few extra billion dollars. And that's that solely is what has driven this increase in tax revenues. George Bush, in his weekly radio address, he says, the tax relief we delivered has helped unleash the entrepreneurial spirit of America and kept our economy the envy of the world. Sorry, no. It's his cronies that are responsible for the increase in taxes. It has not only not helped the entrepreneurial spirit of America, it has harmed it, because it means that the large corporations are getting larger and more powerful, which means that it's more and more difficult for the average person to start a company, which means entrepreneurs are going out of business. In fact, the New York Times noted overall revenues have barely climbed back to the levels reached in 2000. The government has borrowed trillions of dollars against Social Security surpluses just as the nation's baby boomers are reaching retirement. And this is really a joke for Bush to say that he's cutting the deficit. I'm sorry, he inherited a surplus. And then you look at the who's making the money that's being taxed, that's causing this tax to go up. If you think of, this is from the L-curve. L-curve.org is the website. And they note the U.S. population is represented along the length of a football field. Now, just think of a football field, and we're going to arrange people according to their income. And we'll actually put a stack of dollar bills next to them, okay? $100 bills. So the median U.S. family income, that's the family at the 50-yard line. Half of America is richer than them. Half of America is poorer than them. They have $40,000. In income. That would be a stack of $100 bills 1.6 inches high. So the family standing on the 50-yard line, they have a stack of $100 bills for their annual income 1.6 inches high next to them. Now we walk all the way out to the 95-yard line. Now you've got 95% of Americans earn less than them, 5% of Americans earn more than them. They're at the 95-yard line. That family earns $100,000 a year. They have a stack of $100 bills. It's 4 inches high. Now you walk out to the 99-yard line. Their income is $300,000. They have a stack of $100 bills that's a foot high. At 1 foot from the goal line, your average income is $1 million, 1 foot from the goal line. This is the top, more or less, 0.1%. They have a stack of $100 bills that's 40 inches high. You get an inch from the goal line, and the stack of $100 bills, this is the very wealthiest, the 0.001%. The stack of $100 bills sitting next to them is 30 miles high. Now, that group has made a little extra money in the last few years because of Bush's tax policies, and so they're paying a little extra taxes. That's all. It's very simple. Coming up on the next program, look out for sparks as I take on the Reverend David Berman, who says, immigration is the plague of the 21st century. Oh, no. In our Taking Our Country Back segment, Kimon Kotos is here, progressive running for Congress in Michigan's 2nd District. That and more, and your calls right here on the Tom Hartman program. Remember, my friends, democracy begins with you. Tag, you're it. Get out there, get active.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.